from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
One, two,
Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's your name?
Brenda.
What's up, Brenda?
Maury's always trying to compete with the Guinness Book of Records. Well, the Guinness Book of Records for oysters is 223 oysters in 3 minutes.
Okay, so hold on. So hold on here. So you're talking about how Maury always likes to try and break a record. And
yeah.
The most recent one was the walking on Lego record where it was 1,200 feet that a guy walked on Lego barefoot, which hurts like hell, but we didn't have that much Lego. So Maury wore bags on his feet with Lego inside the bag. and he did, I would say, 3 feet before the pain just got to him.
Okay.
And so you're saying that there is a record because Maury, the eating records or the feeding records, as we should say, are the ones that Maury sort of feels that he has the best shot at because he's more apt to succeed in something that involves food than maybe something that involves athletics. So you're talking about an oyster eating record. Is that the deal?
I looked it up yesterday and it's 223 oysters in 3 minutes.
Oh, shucks.
That's a lot of oysters.
Okay, can I just say something to both of you?
Oh, shucks.
Y'all, that's mad funny. Oh,
here we go.
That's great, dude. Oh man.
What did you want to say more? Do you like oysters?
I've never had an oyster in my life.
Oh, you've never had an oyster?
But I hear it's an Afro thingy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it makes you grow an Afro.
Yeah.
What do you think an oyster tastes like, Damn Maury?
Ghibli? Like jiggly?
Ghibli.
Do you know what I mean? Like really loose? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, keep going.
Like inside your head.
I don't know.
Like keep going. Wobbly. Very like wet.
Slimy.
Ghibli. So I know what I've never had that to eat.
Okay, so
I've never eaten wet Ghibli things.
Brenda, here's what we're gonna do.
Can I ask you a quick question? This is my auntie Brenda?
You sweetheart.
No, is it?
Yes.
You're Maury's aunt. Hold on, pause.
What are you doing?
Pause 1 second. Are you Maury's real? Hey, Brenda.
I love you, Maury.
Okay, Brenda, hold on a second here. Because we've been down this road so many times with Maury. Are you Maury's actual aunt, or are you just a woman that Maury knows that calls
his
aunt?
No, I'm his actual aunt.
Okay, what's the relation? So, like, Frank, Maury's dad, is your brother.
Very good.
Brenda.
Oh, Maury, I love you. Don't get mad at me.
Savage.
Auntie Brenda.
Against your own nephew. So here's what we're going to do. Maury,
yeah.
You're going to go to the kitchen.
Oh, no, I've never had an oyster.
And you're going to look for some oysters.
Oh, stop it. You may not find them if it's not. There is a, go to that joint just down in the bottom of the building across from us.
And you're going to go buy some oysters. And Brenda, remind us again, what's the record?
223.
Okay, cool. So you got to get at least 224, David Maury.
My family, what are you doing?
Yeah, thank you, Auntie Brenda.
You just got
rough. Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Maury, don't get mad.
I won't.
And don't get even.
Okay, also, it's impossible to get my family off the phone. Bye.
Okay, Maury, go run to the store. We're going to play a song when we come back. It's oyster time.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I's the buy that builds the boat, and I's the buy. Sorry.
What is that?
That's an old Newfoundland song. Oh. Come on, man.
Why does it smell like red lobster up in here?
Well, because Maury sourced oysters. So the challenge was somebody had called in, and...
Yeah, Maury's aunt.
It's Auntie Brenda.
Aunt Brenda called in.
Savagely.
I know. Aunt Brenda called in to... let us know what the world record for oyster eating was, because Maury consistently tries to break world records on this show, and you feel that the eating ones is where you have the best shot.
It's if I'm going to win something, it's that.
It's going to be the eating ones. Yeah. If you're going to win one of them, it's going to be the eating ones.
And the Guinness World Record for oyster eating.
Yes.
Oyster shucking is 223.
Right. And Maury, you have never had an oyster.
No, ever.
Never even tried one.
No, because
like at a wedding or anything like that.
I see them, and I think no.
What are your thoughts when you do see an oyster?
Gross.
Okay. Why would you ever feel that way? because they look disgusting. Yeah. But people, oysters are one of these things that people swear by.
Like, I love oysters. Are you kidding? Yeah.
You love oysters.
Oysters, mussels, all that stuff.
Really? See, I like mussels.
Love. Love.
Okay. Then you may be okay with this then. Yeah. Now, are these shucked already or no?
No, no. I need Mocha's help. But oh, my God. I found a shucking thing.
Okay.
A knife?
Yeah. I don't know how to shuck an oyster, man. No? Okay, Mocha, get over there. I don't know how to do this. Now, don't you, once you shuck it, like, don't you have to scrape it off the bottom too?
Have you done this before?
Is there juice that's going to come out of that?
Oh, like, yeah, lots. I got to take off my rings.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
And my watch.
So I guess I'll start the time.
We have to find.
Okay, so Mocha's jamming a knife like inside the shell. I don't know if you can hear that. It's all falling apart. I don't think it's supposed to fall apart like that.
Yeah, I don't know if these oysters are.
Oh.
Are good.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
There we go. Okay, so he's got it. Oh, he's got it. Look at that. You did it, Holmes. Okay. Look at you. Don't cut yourself, okay? Maury's got to eat that. Oh, pop it open. Oh,
here we go.
Okay, look at that. Now, which part is the part you eat?
This part right here.
Okay, so you scrape that off.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Mocha's scraping that off.
There you go.
Now, do you put anything on it, like a little salt and pepper or anything like that?
A really good way to do this is you sprinkle or you put a little bit of like hot sauce on it.
Oh, delish.
But we don't have that, so. Okay.
Well, what's it going to be like without anything?
It'll just be normal. It'll just taste like something without hot sauce. Okay, so Maury, so you put that in your mouth and it just slides right down. Okay, I'll start the timer.
It's not going to go well.
I'll start the timer. Maury, attempting to break the world record for most oysters eaten. I think that it's very telling that we've only shucked one. mad confidence Mocha has in you.
Should I be shucking more?
Well, let's just see how this one goes first. Okay. And
what
more,
do I do?
You don't eat the bottom, like you don't eat the shell. You just slide that into your mouth and then swallow.
I'm so scared.
Okay, Maury, in 3, 2, 1, down the hatch. Down the hatch.
I know, but the smell. What if I plug my nose?
Okay. Just slide it right down.
I know. All right. I know. I'm so scared.
Just put it in. It slides right down the throat. You don't even need to chew. But you can if you want. Down. Just tilt your head back.
Oh my God. Maury's hand's shaking like a leaf.
Okay.
Do you have it?
No. It's so salty.
Oh.
Dude.
Oh my God. He's shaking. Shaking. Suck. Suck it. Just suck it. Just
Maury,
suck
come
it.
Come on, man.
Suck it. Just
did you have it?
No.
Still?
I think you put it in. I think you just rest it on the bottom lip and then suck.
And then the juices went in my mouth, and that's the worst.
I know, but I think that's the way that you, I think that's the whole purpose of oysters, is just put a little bit on your bottom, put a little bit.
Why are you shaking?
Okay, just put a little bit in and then just suck the rest, like real quick, like that. Okay, you know what you're doing right now? You're not actually sucking, you're just making a sucking sound. Like, you're not actually sucking anything. You just went like this, like you didn't actually, I think you might have even blown out at that. Okay, oh try God. Again. You got this, Maury. Come on, you got this. You got this. You got this. Do the oyster.
Okay. Okay. Oh my God.
Okay. How is it?
God.
Okay. Is it in there? No. Did you scrape it off the bottom enough? Is it attached? Does it feel like it's attached to something?
Oh, it tastes like gross.
Okay, get it in there. Come on. You can do this, Maury. It's halfway off the shell now.
Oh, man.
It's half of the oyster is just flopped off the end of the shell.
On the count of three.
It's still attached, man.
On the count of three, you're just going to go for it.
Yeah,
just okay. Here we go. Ready? You got this, man. One, two, three. Yeah.
You don't chew. Just suck it. Just swallow. Just swallow.
Swallow, man.
Yeah, don't chew it. Don't chew. Okay. And it's back in the shell.
Oh, my God. It tastes like puddle.
Okay. I don't know what the record was, but Maury almost ate an oyster in 2 minutes and 39 seconds. That's no joke, though, Maury, honestly, all right. Bro. That is no... Oh, it's all over your tongue.
You want another one?
No.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kirstie Alsop, who, if you watch a lot of HGTV, she used to host a show called Location, Location, Location. And... She got taken behind the woodshed on social media because
What's her name? Kirstie Alsop. Okay.
She's really wonderful. I've met her a couple of times. She's a great woman. And she had said publicly that she has two sons who are 12 and 10. And when they go on vacation, she flies business class, they fly coach.
Okay. Yeah. Why did she want to pay for them to fly?
Because they haven't earned it.
Oh. Oh, so this is like one of those life lessons?
Yeah. And she got murdered by people on social media. Yeah. Yeah, she said that business class should be a huge treat that you've worked hard for. If kids get used to it, what do they have to work hard to achieve? It seems like an absurd waste of money and very spoiling is what she said. But on Twitter, people were like, you're going on a family holiday? Why don't you want to sit next to your own kids? And somebody else wrote, stop being a snob and parent your spawn.
Whoa.
Right? And then she shot back with, what the bloody hell is wrong with you all? She goes on to say, they're being taken on vacation, for God's sakes. Yeah, they're not going to war.
She should sit back there with them then.
Why?
Because it's not one of her business trips. I agree with these people. If you're traveling with a family, sit with your family back there.
Hell no.
You would put Catherine and Roxy back there while you traveled in first class.
Can I tell everyone, including you, Dan Mori, why Roz is in a full agreement with this woman?
Because he would do the same thing.
He has done the same thing. Like last year, you flew first class, Roz. And this isn't me snitching because you fully told the story.
Yeah, but I said
it
early in the morning when it wasn't going to hurt anyone's feelings. It's like prime time right now.
You told everyone that you sat first class while Roxy and Catherine sat in economy.
Right.
And they had no problem with it.
Well, I didn't say that, Maury. Stop. What do you like?
Did you at least send back cookies?
Stop adding to the situation.
I did. I think I actually did bring Roxy my cookie. Yes. Yeah? I believe that I did, but I don't think she wanted it.
Did you share your champagne or wine with Catherine?
No, that was all
that's
mine.
That's
first class only. That's sorry. I can't be that guy. Like, what am I? The UN? I start bringing supplies to the less fortunate. Like, that's my job.
Wait,
now.
So you like get to board first.
Like Catherine gets a glass, so I start throwing bags of rice back there for everyone else.
Hold on, you get to board first, so that means Catherine and Roxy would have walked past you while you're sitting in first.
No, we all boarded together because you can board as a family regardless of where you're sitting.
Oh, and you're like, oh, this is me, and they kept going?
Yeah, and I told her at the last minute.
No! Yeah, when you got on the plane?
Like, it was really close to when we were, like, getting to the airport, yeah.
What'd you say?
Nothing, I just said, hey, oh my God, I forgot to tell you.
No, you did that. I forgot to tell you. Yeah. Oh, dude, that's the worst.
Yeah, but no, I agree with this because first class is something that you should work hard for. That should be the goal. And for you to just sort of get it, like right now at Roxy's age, if we all went on vacation last year and we all flew first class, that's fine. And Roxy was up there with us because she's young. But once you start getting to that, like 12, 13, 14, if we go away and I fly business, she's not flying business. She's going in the back.
Right.
This is a thing that you individuals work hard for. This
but you're
is not
still going to sit in the first class while your daughter is in coach.
Correcto mundo.
I can't fathom this.
Life lesson. Life lesson.
Wow.
Okay. Can I read? Let me see here. On a family vacation, I strongly agree with the life lesson.
Yeah.
I'm all for that with children. However, I can only travel first class when I'm alone or with my hubby, not with my daughters traveling with us. It'll just suck with them not being next to me. Somebody else texted in and said that those kids are lucky that they're even going on vacation with their parents. When she was younger, her parents would go on vacation without her and her siblings.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Right?
Thank you.
And told them you can earn your way up to living this life that we live.
Yeah. Now who's the good dad? Me.
Oh no, this one's savage. This person didn't even write their name. Oh. Well, if the plane crashes nose first, mom dies.
Wow.
Watch out for karma. Hey, Kiss, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi, it's Suman calling.
How you doing, Suman?
I'm good. I just wanted to say I completely agree with that lady.
Yes, right?
Like, completely. I have three kids.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? You're right. They have to earn it. I feel like kids now, they're so entitled to, like, everything. iPads and whatever or not.
You know, and it is very expensive. And I don't always fly first class, right?
No, of course.
It's just impossible. Sometimes you're traveling for work and everything else. Like, it's depending on what airline you're flying, like, to fly business class from Toronto to New York sometimes is like $2,000. And who's going to pay $2,000?
Crazy.
Nobody. That's why most times when you're doing it, it's for work and it's an upgrade and all this other stuff. But when we went away last year, I don't remember what airline we were flying, but there was a version of sort of first class, whatever. It was bigger seats. You got like some stuff, and we did that. And Roxy loved it, and we were happy to do that for her because she's young, and you want her with you, and it's part of this whole experience. But I get when you have kids who are like 13 and 14 who only want to sit on the plane with their headphones on and ignore their parents anyway, right?
Yep.
Why am I going to pay $2,000 for you to ignore me when you can't even drink alcohol?
Exactly. And they're going on vacation.
Yes.
Yeah. They're getting the vacation paid for. Right. Everything's paid for.
But if my dad was sitting up there and I had to sit in coach, I would have a tantrum.
Okay. Of course you would have a tantrum.
See, but, and can yeah, I? Well, can, I think it depends on the child.
Yes.
Do we know what the woman from HGTV?
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Kirstie Alsop.
So do we know if maybe in the past she has allowed her kids to sit first class and then said to them, like, listen, this is a privilege and you got to work your way. You got to work your way up to
it. Let's assume no.
Right?
Let's assume no.
But the conversation must have happened.
Sure.
Right?
She seemed pretty adamant that 10 and 12 don't get to sit in first class.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think it's unfair. So if I'm in first class and then Catherine and Roxy, or let's say they walk by me, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's terrible. Can I tell you what makes me feel terrible when I fly with them if we're not flying business class? There is nothing that ruins a flight more for somebody who's 6'4" that when I look beside me and it's Catherine and Roxy, Catherine who's 5'1", Roxy who is like 4 feet tall, when I look at them, when my hips are in so much pain and my back is in so much pain, and I look at them both curled up with their legs up on the seats with all the room in the world.
It looks like they're sleeping in a king size.
Yeah, like I look at them and I'm like, you're only doing this to torture me right now. Oh, look at all the room I have. Oh, why don't I sit cross-legged on this seat? Oh, look at all the room we have. And I'm literally in so much pain.
Even though I understand the life lesson that this woman is trying to teach her kids.
Yeah.
And she put out there on social media.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that. I would feel terrible sitting
How
in first class.
Kids?
Well, our son, he just turned a year at the end of April.
Hey, pause for 1 second. Grab line number 2 right now, Mocha.
Okay. Suman, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much, okay?
Call
display.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha.
We have call display, sweetheart. What?
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Mocha. I just wanted to tell this story properly.
No, don't. What are you doing? Don't.
No, hold on.
Okay.
Catherine, let me turn Ross's microphone down real quick.
I'll be good.
Okay.
I'll be good.
Tell us the real story. So you guys are traveling as a family last year, right?
Yes.
And what we get is that Roz is sitting first class. You and Roxy are sitting in coach, and that he told you that he was sitting first class, kind of like close to the time that the flight was about to happen.
I do think that's actually true. Right. I don't remember exactly when he told me that he was flying first class, but I remember giving him a little bit of cut eye and being like, actually? But the thing with Roz is, I know that you guys had this whole, like, you've got to work hard to be in first class, but the reality is, Roz, although you may find it very hard to believe, literally never complains at home. He is not a complainer. He is the most easy to get along with, nicest, happiest person, and the one thing that he cannot handle is sitting in a tiny, tiny airplane seat. It's like, it cripples his body. He cannot, he'll be miserable the entire time. So in that case, I'm actually totally fine with him sitting in first class and us sitting in coach, because Roxy and I are tiny little, like, 3 and 5 feet people, and it's fine. It makes no difference to me. And then he can be happy, and we can get off the plane together, and everything is great.
This is what I just said, because I was explaining to people, sweetheart, that when I'm crumpled up like a pretzel,
Yeah.
In coach, and I look at you and Roxy, who have all the room in the world and are curled up like little balls on your seat. It looks like you're doing that to torture me, to sort of to show off how much room you have.
Yeah, I cannot sit on a plane without my feet underneath me. Like, I have to sit like cross-legged, yeah, and my feet have
cross-legged.
To be up.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Cross-legged on a plane.
Oh, Vince, that's right? Why you have such a hard time on planes, right?
Yes, yeah.
And that is also why when you get off a plane, your body's shaped like an S.
Right. There's completely different reasons when we come back from vacation and Catherine's body's shaped like an S. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my
which I would not be able to do if I landed all cramped up from sitting in coach.
Oh, my God.
You stud.
I love you, sweetheart.
Love you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up?
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
What's going on?
So I'm a flight attendant, and we actually see those situations almost every day.
Yeah.
And it's more based on what seats are available as well, and they'll upgrade one person out of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And most airlines have a rule that if you're under the age of 12, you're actually not supposed to be in the business class cabin at all.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. Unless you're accompanied by an adult, or even if you are with an adult?
Even if you are with an adult, because a lot of people that pay business class are flying for business, yeah, and they don't want to deal with a screaming child.
Well, listen, and a 10-year-old's not going to scream during the entire flight. Maybe they have a nightmare if they fall asleep, but generally a 10-year-old's not going to scream their way.
As a grown-ass man, sometimes when I fall asleep, I have nightmares and I scream. Yes. So.
You'd be surprised how many kids in business class act up because they're entitled children and they think they have free run of the aircraft.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. And I was thinking the other day, too, you know, I don't know if I've ever got along with anybody who grew up rich.
I don't think anybody gets along with anybody that grows up rich, yeah, unless they've grown up rich.
Exactly. I don't know. And I met a lot of people who grew up rich.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like any of them.
Now that I think about it?
Yeah.
I don't know any rich people.
No, you don't know anybody who grew up rich?
No.
No, I've known a couple
a
people. I've known a couple people who grew up rich.
To snooty?
Yeah, I just
entitled.
Yeah, they're grounded in a different world, like
sure,
sort of the space that you and I come from, where our roots are based. You know, there's a sense of you got a little fight in you where they have fight in them, but it's a different kind of fight.
Yeah.
It's not fighting to achieve something. It's fighting to keep something. And those are two different kinds of fight to have in you. And it sort of breeds a individual that, I don't know. I've just never liked anybody who grew up rich.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, it's because you have a different life experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, what's your name?
I'm Jessica.
Jessica, thank you so much for calling in today.
You're very welcome. Have a good day, guys.
Right on. Bye-bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. She's a warm-hearted person. You love.
So you're telling me that Best Friends Day is tomorrow?
It is. Tell you about my best. You and I are best friends. I got a big day planned for us.
I love that. And Dammit, Maury and his husband. Maybe they're best friends. Maury seems to think so. And the rule, as you've heard so often on this show, is that Maury is not allowed to do a lot of stuff in the house. There's so many rules. No bare feet in bed. Not allowed to use Matthew's bathroom.
Not allowed to touch the thermostat.
Not allowed to touch the laundry machine.
Not allowed to load the dishwasher.
Correct.
Not allowed to unload the dishwasher.
But the number one rule, if there is a number one rule on that list, is Maury is not allowed to call Matthew at work because he is the busiest person. This, according to Dammit Matthew, he's the busiest person in the world, and it is the one thing above everything else that Maury is not allowed to do. And so, what is this? Did Maury troll Matthew? Is that what happened?
Hard.
Okay.
Matthew speaking.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. So I was just looking at the calendar on the internet, and tomorrow.
You know, you're calling me during the busiest time of the year, right?
But for me, 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Tomorrow is Best Friends Day, and I thought that you would like to know.
Maury, are you kidding me right now?
Best Friends
Day. The busiest time of the year for me at work right now.
I know, but are we best friends? Did you marry your best friend?
Yes.
So can we celebrate Best Friends Day tomorrow? Like a picture or something for the Instagram?
Oh, no.
Everything with you is about Instagram and likes.
You're my best friend.
Okay, great. Yeah, likewise. I can't believe you're calling me at work right now for this.
And but think about it. Like, you married your best friend.
No, I don't have time to think about it. That's my point. I can't even believe you're calling me right now about this.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Okay, bye.
Oh, no.
What the f***?
Okay, so one more thing about Best Friends Day. You know you have that friend in Barrie, Tracy.
Yes.
But you call her your best friend.
Oh, no!
Yes, because she is my best friend. She's my actual...
I thought I was your best friend.
Oh, this.
Listen.
Oh, no.
There's two categories. There's best friend, as in, like, a friend, like, just a friend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she's that. She's my best friend.
But you said
you're
that you
my
married,
best friend that
but
I
you
married.
Said that you married your best friend.
Oh, no.
I did. You know?
I know, but I don't think you can have two best friends.
Oh, no.
You figure it out yourself. I can't talk about this. I have to go into a meeting. Fine.
Oh, no.
You better be f***ing lying to me.
Yeah, no, I have one more quick question.
It's Maury. I'm sorry. I'll just be a second.
In the meeting.
We're the best friends that anybody could have. We're the two best friends that anyone can have.
I have no words.
What is your favorite thing that we've done as best friends?
Are you kidding me right now?
Like, do you tell people at work that you married your best friend?
I don't tell people anything at work because I'm busy working.
Okay, I just wanted you to know, in case anybody asks, tomorrow is Best Friends Day and you have one. Okay, so...
Maury. Like,
yeah.
We're done. We're just gonna wrap this conversation. I can't talk to you right now.
You get okay? sexy when you're angry.
Do not call me back. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Girl, let me read this to you.
Oh.
The headline is Channing Tatum regrets jumping the gun to divorce Jenna Dewan.
Of course.
This is from Radar Online.
And do you remember when they released that divorce announcement, too? It was like, oh my God, we're so in love.
Super cool friends. It sounded like an engagement announcement.
It sounded like wedding vows. They were so in love, but it was them breaking up. Yeah.
Here's what Radar Online has learned exclusively. Someone snitched to them. Quote, at first, he was really pumped about getting his life on track and doing his own thing without her judging him all the time.
Oh.
But he's beginning to think he may have jumped the gun on the divorce. Sources. I say snitches. Sources told Radar Online exclusively at the time that Dewan was growing increasingly jealous of Tatum's stardom while her career stalled. Tatum also took advantage of his popularity by partying hard and flirting with other women. But now the insider says the Magic Mike star regrets his action.
Yeah.
The single life isn't what it's cracked up to be, the insider confessed.
Never is.
And the fact that Dewan is turning heads on the red carpet isn't helping.
Yeah.
Quote, he's also noticing Jenna looks great,
mm-hmm.
the insider admitted.
Mm-hmm.
She's more stunning to him than ever now. And he knows guys must be lining up for dates.
Yeah. Lining up for dates. What is 1952? Courtship. You know, Hollywood courtship.
The seeds of regret have already been planted, and Tatum is already dropping hints that he'd like to rekindle with his ex. Just this past Mother's Day, Tatum referred to Dewan as, quote, baby on Instagram.
Oh.
And said he loved her.
Yeah.
He wishes he'd given the marriage another chance, the source revealed. But of course, it's way too late for that now.
Yeah, it's tough. I think we've all been in this situation where we've split up with somebody.
Why are you shaking your head? Why you apparently married the man of your dreams.
Yeah,
I know, but I get what Channing saw. Like that feeling, like I can't imagine, you know, seeing other people's heads turn looking at Matthew or thinking of him moving on. Oh, my gut just wrenches.
Yeah, yeah. Catherine and I, years ago, when we were starting out, I made terrible decisions and there was a pause on the relationship that was completely inflicted by me. And I was much like Channing Tatum, where I was like, what in the hell am I doing? But I remember I saw her and I was like, oh my God, there's no feeling that hurts more than in a relationship when you've made a terrible error in judgment and messed with somebody's feelings. And you're starting to feel guilty about it when you actually see them and they look great. But not only that, but they also look happy.
Yeah.
There's nothing hurts more than that. there is no self-inflicted sort of wound that you can do to yourself.
No, it makes you feel barfy.
It's everything hurts. Everything. It's all like you made the wrong decision, and then there's a physical reaction. There's all sorts of reactions.
Wait, were you in that situation where you saw Catherine with somebody else?
No, not with somebody else. I just saw her.
Oh,
and it's
gotcha.
Not even with somebody else. It has nothing to do with anybody else.
She just
else.
Looked happy.
She just looked good, and she looked happy, and I was just
That's why you should just stay with who you're with, God. Because you don't want that feeling.
Yeah, and that's the situation I'm in now. Well, no, it's I mean because I love her to death.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Our lives would be disgusting without the women that we're with. My life would be horrible.
Oh yeah,
like it would be horrible. But no, there was just that one time, and you know, and if you can fix it, fix it. And this is what I say to people like Channing Tatum. People are walking away too quickly from relationships now. Mm. A tiny little bump and it's over. Fix it. If you don't think that you're supposed to live with a little bit of misery, ask your grandparents how many years they've been married for. And when they give you that answer, then ask them how many years of those were happy. And they'll give you the real answer.
Yeah, the answer is like half of how long that they've been together.
Exactly.
If they've been together 80 years, maybe 40 were good.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. Okay, we're walking away too quickly from relationships. Because options are available. Everything is so easy now to just hook up with somebody else.
Maybe they just have this grand gesture, like thought process in their mind where they're like, the possibilities for me are endless right now.
No, but old people have it right. You work it out. You say for better or worse, you work it out.
I look at people now where I'm like, they've just dumped somebody and they're just like super egotistical about it. And I'm like, you know what? 20 years ago, a person like you wouldn't have the options that you do.
Yeah.
You're living in such a great time right now. You shouldn't have these kinds of options. Settle down. Fix it.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Channing Tatum.
You disagree on something? One thing you disagree on? One thing.
Yeah.
You disagree on that and it's over.
It's like we're getting a divorce.
Yeah, we're getting a divorce.
Yeah, fix it.
Yeah.
Grow up. Hey, Kiss, it's Roz and Mocha. What's your name?
Hi, this is Andrea.
What's up, Andrea? How are you?
I'm very good. First of all, I wanted to say I listen to you guys every single morning and you just make my day the best start I could possibly have going into work. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Andrea.
So my husband and I are actually high school sweethearts. We've been together. We've been married now for about 6 years and we've been together for 16. Wow. And the first question they always ask is, wow, 16 years, like, did you guys ever break up? And I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean, we started dating when I was 15. So we broke up shortly after high school and we were apart for about 8 months. And then we finally like ran into each other and I was like, what the heck am I doing? Like, I love this guy. I don't want anyone else to be with him. Mm-hmm. And we got back together, got married. Now we have a 5.5-year-old little girl.
Aww.
And yeah, it's just the best and the worst thing is seeing that person again after so long.
Ugh.
And just being like, what am I doing? Why am I thinking there's someone better out there for me? Like, perfect.
So Andrea, are you saying then that the breakup between Channing Tatum and his soon-to-be ex, Jenna Dewan, like, them breaking up may actually be a good thing for them if they find each other again and get back together?
Honestly, it was the best and the worst thing that ever happened to my husband and I because we were so young when we first started dating, and I just don't think we knew what we had until it was gone. And sometimes that's the best thing, is getting out there and being like, yeah, no, come on, everyone else is like garbage compared to this person.
They already have kids, though. They already have a kid.
Yes.
Like they're well advanced of where you were when you were younger, high school sweetheart breaking up. Like this is somebody, you know, and again, we're just speculating here of, you know, the information that we have, which is there could be some terrible things going on in that relationship. And if that's the case, nobody is advocating to stay in a truly terrible relationship. But what we were saying is that it is now so easy for people to say, okay, so here's what's going to happen is you and I, we're just going to go our separate ways. And then we're going to co-parent this little kid and it's going to be great. And it's all about, you know, my happiness and your happiness. Well, it's not at that point. The only responsibility that you have in life in life is to not screw that kid up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only responsibility that you have at that point, is to just make sure that that kid doesn't get screwed up. And yes, there are plenty of kids who are raised by two parents and it works and everything else, but you're playing odds here. And the odds of that kid getting screwed up because you decide to be a little bit selfish with your own personal happiness is not worth it.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, one other comment is I've actually gone through a lot of health struggles, and we were very close to splitting up. I actually used the big D word one time with him, and he was sleeping on the couch. I was sleeping in the bedroom just to kind of make things okay for our daughter.
Yeah.
But, you know, things that even when you're married and even when you have a kid, there's things in your life that test that relationship so close to breaking it. And,
yeah.
You know, like you said, sometimes there's things that are irreparable that you can't,
of course,
you can't come back from.
Of course. Yes.
You got to try your hardest.
Yeah.
And the sacrament of marriage, I think, is taken for granted a lot these days, especially with younger couples. It's like, oh, we're going to get married and we're going to have the big white wedding. And they don't realize that that's not marriage.
Committing to people has become less of a thing these days. It's just the general commitment, whether you're married or not. You can still make a very large commitment, but things are so easy now for people. You can just pack up, move out, and you're back on Tinder, and mm-hmm. you know, life is just fine.
Yep.
You can, it's cheap. Everything is just so cheap and easy right now that you no longer have to work through something because, my God, you have no more options. And what you're really fighting about isn't that big of a deal. You could just both figure out how to coexist in a world where, God forbid, maybe you don't agree on something. Catherine, there's lots of stuff Catherine and I do not agree on.
Those pants being one of them?
My pants being one of them.
No, but those specific ones you're wearing today, I don't want to say anything, but
yeah,
hey,
man.
Ross, this morning, my husband got dressed and I was leaving the house and I went, wow, those pants are tight. And he went, are they too tight? I said, no, babe, they're not too tight. Don't worry.
No such thing.
So I got you.
You tell him for me, there's no such thing. No such thing.
Hey, Andrea, love you lots. Thanks very much for calling in today.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yo, Air Transat has an early booking promotion that is on right now until June 30th.
Okay, let me go through this here with you. If you book a South package for travel November 1st, 2018 to April 30th, 2019, you benefit from, this is the big one, price drop guarantee.
Oh, I love that.
People love that. The option to change your travel dates up to 21 days before departure. Why I like that is because I'm a very busy man.
Oh, and you are so busy,
I'm
dude.
So busy. And I have this sort of fear of commitment, especially when it comes to booking a vacation, because I don't know what life is going to be like in early 2019. So with this, you get to change your travel plans up to 21 days before departure.
They'll throw in a $50 future travel voucher for you. And if you book a luxury or distinction collection package, you will be upgraded to Option Plus, which is amazing. It's the best time to book. Go to transat.com right now for more info. What are we doing now?
How about we take a phone call?
Yes. Hey, Eric, what's going on? It's Roz and Mocha. How are you?
Hey, Roz and Mocha. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. So you tweeted us at Kiss925.
Yes, I did.
And what was your question, dude?
So my question is for all three of you, Roz, Maury, and Mocha, is what advice can you guys give me in regards to a successful marriage? I'm getting married June 23rd, and I want to know how you guys keep your daily lives with such a busy schedule and make things work.
So first of all, Eric, how long have you been with your fiance for?
We've been together now for 3 years.
And how has everything been in the 3 years? I assume great, because, you know,
yeah,
you asked
we went
her to marry
through, yeah, we went through a little bit of a rough patch because I got sent away for work for about 3 months, but that was probably the toughest time that we had.
Okay.
And then now it's I've moved into a new role where I'm traveling a little bit more, so it's a little bit difficult, but we're making it work. But yeah, I love her with all my life, and I feel that she feels the same way about me, which is why she's marrying me.
Do you have any worries going into this that it won't be successful?
No, I don't think that I have any worries. Like, I'm very committed to what I'm, why I love her. Yeah. So, I'm extremely happy that she said yes. And, I can't ask for anything more, I guess.
Okay.
What do you guys fight about?
What do we fight about? We fight about, little things, such as, like, I guess, planning the wedding right now. her input is what I put forward first, but she obviously wants my input about the wedding, and I'm a little bit more relaxed about the situation, so I don't feel stressed.
Before there was a wedding to plan, because everybody gets stressed out over planning a wedding.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should be a reflection as to the couple that you are. Before you guys started planning a wedding, when you disagreed on something, what was it?
I guess the best example I could use was when I was overseas, traveling and just going out with coworkers and friends. Obviously, there was a little bit of tension there because she couldn't control what was happening. But I told her nothing to worry about. Like, I love her with all my life. We're just going out to have drinks. That's the main gist of the fights. Like, we don't really fight too much. We get along so well that we understand each other.
So you'd be away for work, and she was thinking that you were going out partying with women.
Pretty much, yeah.
Eric, to me, it sounds like you guys are in a great place. I don't think you have anything to worry about as long as you are. I always say honesty is the best policy. As long as you guys just keep it honest with each other and kiss every day. That's what I say. Yeah. Kiss every single day.
Yeah. You got one job, which is to just always tell the truth, right? That's your main job.
Yeah.
And then I would say that you need to actively take a couple hours a week, even if it's just 1 hour a week, and just work on you guys. And I don't mean fight if it's not the time where you air your grievances, but to just be alone with each other and be a couple. And this does not count when you're talking about the mortgage. This doesn't count when you're talking about planning the wedding. This is just being with each other as a couple. You have that. And then when it does come to fighting, one of the things that I will always say, and it's been pretty successful for me, is it's fine to fight and it's fine to disagree, but don't let it bleed into everything. So if you're fighting about one thing, just make sure you're fighting only about that one thing. Meaning, if you have to go away for work and she's pissed that you're going away for work, but then you also have to decide what you're doing that weekend, don't fight about that too. You should be able to have calm conversations about the things that you are not currently arguing about. I know it's difficult, but you need to be very specific in your disagreements. Otherwise, your whole life is a wreck at that point. And then everything, what you're having for dinner that night becomes an argument.
Very true. I agree.
Cover your tracks.
And Maury says, cover your tracks.
Oh, God.
I don't think I have to worry about
it. Yeah, I think you'll be fine, Eric. Honestly, I think you're in a great place. You sound like you got an amazing woman, and I think you guys are going to be just fantastic. You're going to be all right.
If I can be married for 2 years, anyone can be married.
That's true. If Maury can still be married after 2 years, anyone can be married.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thanks for listening to the show, Eric.
All right. Thanks, guys, for the call.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
When's Father's Day? Is that this weekend?
No, next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, why? Okay. I don't know. I never know when Father's Day is. It's the weirdest thing, man.
17th.
Okay.
God, no, I love never Father's did. Day.
Why do you love Father's Day?
I actually get to see my dad this Father's Day, which is pretty special, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of him. I saw him this past weekend. He finished his tiki bar and everything. And
right.
Like, now I love my dad.
Right. Yes, I understand that.
Like, now I'm getting to really get closer.
You're both men now. You're both grown and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he pulled out a beer from the beer fridge in the tiki bar. I said, no, thank you.
Right.
Aw, you don't want to share a beer with your pops?
No, I like cider now.
Right.
I asked for cider. He goes, I don't have that fancy stuff.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I love your dad. It's so great. So you actually enjoy spending time with your father now?
I absolutely love it now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great, though. I love that, man.
I'm just trying to get in as much time as I can because, like, we all don't live forever.
Yeah, tell me about it, Maury. You're talking to somebody whose dad's dead.
Hold on a second. I'm just going to sit back real quick. Put my feet up here. just bag of popcorn and just... Enjoy the show.
Okay, you were saying
I can't look at Roz in the eye right now.
So yeah, so explain to me, Maury, how people don't live forever, so you want to spend as much time with them as you can. Again, how is that going to go?
There's one time somebody asked me, "Did you ever feel speechless?" I now have an answer.
I should be.
How I feel so small right now.
So you were saying? Explain to me again how. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Maury.
Yeah. So more. So explain to me. So explain to me how it's really great to be able to spend time and have a beer with your dad because people don't live forever.
I just don't want these memories to disappear.
Okay.
You know, I just
God,
don't
what
wanna,
would that be like?
Because what's it going to be like when I don't have a dad?
Jeez. I wish there was somebody who could help answer that question, Maury.
I can't even contribute to this conversation right now.
Like, what are you going to do when you can't buy your father a Father's Day gift anymore?
I don't know. That would be terrible. It'd be the worst.
Hey, the worst. Don't look at me for to help you out, bro. You got yourself into this mess.
How do I get myself out of it?
Not getting any help on this side of the room. You're on your own little island over there.
Can I tell you the worst part about all of this right now? Is that I know if my old man was alive, he would love Maury. That's the worst of all of this. Like, all of this right now is I know out of the three of us in this room on this show, Maury would have been my dad's favorite. 100%.
Like, good one.
Oh, God. That's the biggest heartbreak of this whole conversation.
That is.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maury, what's the, you ever won anything? Like, what's the biggest prize you ever won?
The biggest?
Yeah. Like, what was the sort of the most sought after where you were the hard fought competition where you came out on top? Because I think that most people go through their lives without really winning anything. Simply because most people go through their lives without even really competing in anything. Have you ever won anything where there was like a substantial amount of people, something at stake?
Like, I won a trip once.
No, that's a contest.
Right.
Right. Like something you competed for. You don't.
I mean, I won hockey trophies, but I didn't really deserve it.
Right. Okay. So again, what
I'm
saying.
The team won. I was on the team.
Right. Okay. Well, what trophy did they win?
We came in first.
Oh, okay. And what was your contribution to that?
Not much.
Not much. Okay.
Wait, were you a player or were you
part of
the... Like, I don't know, like...
Yeah.
Administrative...
No, like, I was on the team.
Assistant coach
or... on the team.
I was on the team.
What position did you play?
Defense.
Defense.
Right. How many minutes were you...
Not many.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah.
So I don't think I ever won... No.
I got a trophy for swimming when I was a baby.
Baby. No, you didn't.
Do you remember?
I still have the trophy in my bedroom.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You have a baby swimming trophy in your bedroom?
Hold on. As a 40-year-old man.
You have a baby. How Matthew ever gets aroused is beyond me.
Because it's a little trophy. It's a bronze baby on the trophy.
If Catherine had a trophy in our room that was awarded to her for something she did as a baby, Roxy wouldn't be born.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very difficult time.
She'd also be single right now.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a baby swimming trophy.
Yeah, I earned that.
In the bedroom.
Yeah. You earned that.
I earned that.
By how? By doing what?
Splash around or whatever?
No. No. You earned nothing.
Baby guppies, and then I won a trophy for hockey that I did not deserve.
Right. Okay, so no.
And a horseback riding ribbon.
But
what? Okay,
but you got the ribbon for just participating, not for winning. You didn't win anything.
No, I jumped over some things, and you get a ribbon.
You jumped on a horse?
Yeah, I used to go horseback riding in Wisconsin when I went to Olensang Ruby Union Institute.
Okay, I can't go down that road.
Wow.
It's a Jewish camp.
Right. I can't
get... Oh, really?
I can't go... As much as I would love to, I cannot go down the Wisconsin Jewish camp horseback riding road right now. That is way too involved of a story.
And there was an old man in the field.
Of course there was.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Line one, hello. This is Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hello, my name is Rachel.
How are you, Rachel?
Hi. It's my birthday today, actually, so I wanted to say hello to you guys.
Oh, happy birthday, Rachel. How old are you now?
Thank you. I'm 24.
All right.
What's the best part about being 24?
Finally realizing you're an adult.
Oh, snap. Was it a good realization or was it a terrifying realization?
You know what? A little bit of both. I just moved into my first apartment, so I'm starting to be there, but I think now I'm like, I can finally say I'm in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
How long ago did you move into your first apartment?
In November.
Oh, okay. So what was for you, moving out for the first time on your own, what was the most shocking part of that whole experience?
I think realizing how expensive cheese was. Never had to buy my own cheese.
Hold on. Realizing how expensive cheese is?
Yeah.
You're right. She's you're right. That is the kind of thing where you don't realize when you live with your parents certain things. One of those things that is a shock and a punch to the face when you're out on your own is how expensive cheese is.
Wow.
Honestly, it is.
Yeah, and you think of all those days. Remember all those days that you would just like burn through your mom's cheese and even like leave a little bit on the side of the plate and then it gets all hard and you just throw it in the bin afterwards?
Exactly. Yeah. And now I can't do that. I'm like, I better eat this or it's going out of my money bag.
Yes. Cheese is very expensive.
Wow.
You're right.
Anything else? Anything else, Rachel?
I mean, rent, so no extra money.
Yeah, no extra money.
So is there anything in your life that you were kind of used to having, being able to purchase while you were living with your parents that now you have to scale back on or even eliminate completely from your life now that you're living on your own?
Just the amount of junk food that my mom used to buy us.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, now I have to budget everything. I can't buy five different types of deli meats or six bags of chips or anything that I can eat at my leisure.
Deli meats.
Oh, deli meats are great, Mom.
My mom.
Yeah, her mom does. She lives with her mom, man. What are you going to do?
I can't remember the last time I had a deli meat.
So what about the social part of living on your own? What was the rule at home while you were still with your mom and dad as far as having fellas over?
I mean, I've always kind of had a boyfriend. So that there was a certain limit, obviously, of like when I could have sleepovers, but
right. And how did they regulate that? How did they regulate? Like, how did they put a limit on how many sleepovers you could have? To me, that sounds a little invasive. Like your parents were dictating like how many times you could sleep with your boyfriend?
Well, I mean, it's their house, so if I wanted to have him over, you know, we'd have to be dating for a certain amount of time, and that kind of thing.
So how often were you allowed to have your boyfriend sleep over?
Depending on how long we were together. I was with somebody for 6 years, so I was allowed to have them over every weekend.
And they were allowed to sleep in the same room as you?
At my mom's, not at my dad's house.
Oh.
And what about now? Now it's like wherever.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now I'm just like, all right, so my boyfriend's going to live with me now.
So you were in your 20s, and so your parents are split. They live in two different places, right?
Yeah,
okay,
for a long
time. It's okay, so if you went to see your mom, it was okay to have sleepovers with your boyfriend. But if you went to your dad's, no sleepovers with your boyfriend, even at, 23 years old?
Yeah, even at 23. My dad has always been super protective. I'm his oldest.
But mom said it's okay?
Yeah, no, my mom and my dad have completely different rules.
Yeah, I find
I'm my dad's baby, so there's nothing I can't,
I know, but you're 23, though, at that point, you know?
Yeah, you should tell him that.
Yeah, get him on the phone. Let me tell him that
all
it's
right,
okay for his daughter. I'm explaining some things to your dad.
Wow. All right, Rachel. So is there anything that you're looking forward to being on your own now?
Definitely just like continue my adulthood. Like, I'm excited to kind of be an adult now and be able to make decisions that are going to impact myself, right?
Yeah. You can leave your like clothes on the floor.
Oh no, that's the last thing I do now. In my old house, I didn't have a closet, so all of my clothes are all over the floor. Mm-hmm. So my room is spotless now.
No, yeah, you got to watch out, because if you start spending extra money on laundry because you're leaving clothes on the floor, that is less money for cheese you have at the end of the day.
Right? That's what I'm saying. You
guys
get it.
Hey, Rachel, happy birthday. Thank you very much for calling into the Roz and Mocha Show. We appreciate the fact that you listen.
Thank you so much, guys. I listen to you guys every morning. You always brighten up my day.
Oh, you're the best. You. Take care.
You're the best. Thanks.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Damn it, Maury. Part of your big week birthday celebration, your final week of being in your 30s, turning 40, one of the things that you wanted to do.
I thought you already turned 40.
No, it's now or never.
One of the things that you wanted to do was did you ask your dad to write a letter, or how did this happen?
I said I asked him to write it. Your thoughts.
Okay. So Maury wanted his pops, Frank, to write him a, hey, my boy's 40 kind of letter.
Yeah.
And instead of just sort of sitting with it and having a private moment, Maury has decided that he would like to open the sealed envelope right now and read the letter that his dad, Frank, wrote to his boy who is about to turn 40. So
not sure why he put duct tape on the back.
Yeah, it's fine.
Wait, so he wasn't going to write this on his own. You had to ask him?
Yeah, no, because he doesn't write letters. Like, I haven't received a written letter from my dad since I was in overnight camp.
Right.
This is like the first letter in years.
Have you ever received a written letter from your dad, Mocha?
Nope.
No. No.
Absolutely not.
Like, you make it seem like
I thought this
we
was
all
a thing.
Did. Yeah. Like, no, we did. Mine didn't.
No, this is not an everybody story. This is just a you story.
Okay, so, oh, geez, it looks like we got a lot to go through here, Maury.
Oh, goodness. Let me lean back in my chair.
Okay, so Maury, go ahead with your birthday letter from your dad.
Maury, 40th. Holy s***. It's a good thing we got all that swearing out of our systems already. Wow. What do you say or even want? What can I say that hasn't said been about you by now already? Sorry, this is not to be a roast, or for a moment I thought this was a roast for Roz. Kidding. You think or can imagine what the future is going to be or look like. In the beginning, when you were just over 2 years old, you hugged my leg and said, Daddy, we will be okay. I think the radio was playing Just the Two of Us by George Washington Jr.
Sorry, what?
Just continue.
I knew we were starting a special family rebuild. And you know what? You have kept that same good attitude. As a dad, I sorry. I presented various curriculum opportunities for you to learn, see, and try what were available out there. These exercises very quickly enabled me check off the boxes, i.e. camp, hockey, baseball, just certain foods. I remember preparing spaghetti and meat sauce and very quickly having to clean it off the wall floor. I think you were kind of telling me what we want quickly. Reflecting back, this is also includes our trip to Barbados, where your bar room tab on Virgin Banana Daiquiris was higher than mine, and walking through the airport customs home with a shoot of sugarcane and bananas in hand while I was answering the question, anything to declare. And the Tennessee trip, I think, was a sign on what was to come. What was where you had planned, and we made a visit to a radio station. I think you were 9 years old. We always had good times and fun building memories. Your ambitions and drive are incredible and have led you to great places in your life. Happy birthday. I don't know what he's talking about.
Is there a chance, Maury, that this could be a puzzle? Because it sounds like he's left out every third word of that letter.
It all makes your spelling and grammar right now, Maury. It all makes sense.
It all makes sense.
Because your father, Frank, is horrible at writing words down.
But he's never told me how proud he is of me.
No, he's proud of you, Maury. Come on.
Of course he's proud of you.
40 years.
Listen, man, we all know your pops is proud of you. He's talked to us on the show before. We've talked to him in real life. He's super proud of you.
Something about bananas.
But there was something about bananas.
Sugarcane.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I didn't understand anything in that letter.
No, I know. I remember Maury reading a part about checking boxes and bursting into tears. And I wondered what that trigger was and why checking boxes meant so much to you. But listen, we should all be so lucky to get a letter like this from our pops and know that they're just so bloody proud of you. But he is, Maury, and you know that. Happy birthday. I hope Frank is okay, and this is not a letter that he wrote under duress. Have you talked to him in the past 24 hours?
No.
Okay, so we don't know if he's been kidnapped. And there's some sort of meaning. Maury, go through this letter and write down every third word, because I bet he's asking for help.
Maury, please send help.
Okay, listen, we'll take your phone calls. Maury, go answer the phones. Also, Frank, bananas.
Dad,
write me a letter. Tell me how proud you are that one time we took bananas through the airport. Maury, why are you on your cell phone? Oh, is that your dad? Tell me you're calling back.
Hang up with Frank. Get in here. All right, give me your phone with his number.
Call me on my desk phone.
I don't know that number. Just what did you want to say? I have 2 minutes right here. What's up?
What I'm saying is that it's not my writing. It is your reading.
Yeah, but you wrote so tiny, dude. You wrote so tiny. Why don't you write so people can read?
No, I wrote it perfectly fine. The reading, you have, yeah, punctuation marks that were just like written right over that, read right over the punctuations there. And like, who reads where it's like constant flow, like you're turning on a tap. And then when you get to the end of it, you say, I have no idea what was said.
Because I can't see your small writing through my tears.
I couldn't see the road for all the laughing I was doing.
Oh, well, next time just write so other people can, like, honestly, you used to write bigger. I don't know, when you're getting older, the font shrinks?
No, it usually gets bigger because my eyesight is getting a little bit, the prescription's getting a little larger.
My one thing, you didn't say love at the end. You just said happy birthday. You didn't say love, Dad.
I ran out of ink. All that tiny writing. Yes, it was very, very special to be able to do such a letter, but thought I could walk through a little bit of the path of the past and had a little bit of humor that seems to be obviously in my own head.
I like that you mapped it out.
Yes. Okay. Have a great day.
Hey, wait, Frank.
Oh.
Hello. Hey, Frank, what's up? It's Ross Mocha.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
I should always know that when you call a radio station that you're not the only one being listened to.
No, you're right. Listen, your letter was fantastic, and I'm sure Maury explained to you that even though it's so super clear to Mocha and I, Maury still, I guess, sometimes has doubts. And what is super clear to Mocha and I is that you are in fact extremely proud of Maury.
Of course I am.
Then say it.
I am super proud. Yes, indeed.
You can make me cry all over again. Don't you have a meeting to go to?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Anything to get on the phone super fast right now. Yo, Frank, thanks so much, brother.
You're okay. The best,
Frank. Have a wonderful day.
Thank Bye. You, brother.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Big birthday weekend for Maury.
Is it?
Do you know what Matthew's getting you? I'm surprised you don't have a registry for your birthday. I thought about that last night. You're exactly the type of person who would have a registry for your birthday.
I've mentioned to so many people what I want, but Matthew's already told me, don't hold your breath, you're not getting anything.
Right.
Oh,
but tell you what, if I don't get anything, I've already gotten a couple of amazing gifts already.
Not sure what.
Well, a couple of messages, compliments from you guys, which I never get.
What are you talking about?
You left me a voicemail with a compliment.
Then I compliment you. That shouldn't be such a surprise to me, by the way. I know I sound like a complete jerk trying to rack my brain.
When did you call me Maury?
For when I complimented you. Is this what you sent me here?
Yeah, you don't remember?
No. Do I remember? No, hold on here. Let me get this. So what is this? What am I playing? A voicemail that I left for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
First new message.
Ugh, if I never have to hear that voicemail recording again, it'll be the greatest day of my life. Why don't you ever answer when I call you? I had so much stuff to go through with you. My computer just died. God, I don't even know. Can you just call me back? I need to talk to you about the podcast. I need to talk to you.
So far, it's super sweet.
you sound like you're in a great mood, by the way.
About vacation. I hate this computer. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Anyway, God, where are you? Like, literally, you text me 35 times a day, and I call you once, and you don't answer. I'm going to go to bed soon. Anyway, yeah, you were funny a couple times this week. I'll, answer next time I call. Okay, later.
Right? You said.
I said what?
You said that I was funny a couple of times this week.
Oh my God. Hold on, let me wind that back. Hold on here. So this
sweet.
Is your big birthday compliment? This is my gift to you?
Are you? Like, literally, you text me 35 times a day, and I call you once, and you don't answer. I'm going to go to bed soon. Anyway, yeah. You were funny a couple times this week. I'll answer next time I call. Okay, later.
To save it, Message will be saved for 10 days.
Saved for 10 days?
Okay, so that was my birthday gift to you?
I mean, how...
Was I said you were funny a couple times this week?
Such a great compliment.
Jeez,
I mean,
Maury.
But not as good as the compliment that Mocha.
So what is this, a voicemail that Mocha left you?
Yeah, Mocha also, like a huge compliment.
Okay, hold on here.
What?
Let me play this. This one, number two, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
What are you guys talking?
Okay.
Maury, you're great. I can't imagine life without you, Maury. You're my best friend, Maury. In my dreams, we're soaking up the sun alone on the beach, rubbing lotion on each other's bodies. I think about you every day. What the hell is this?
Wow.
Dude. Why? Hold on.
Thank you so much.
Hold on. That is, okay, I never, ever left a voicemail.
Is that not your voice?
Hold on a sec. You didn't leave a message for Maury talking about how you want to rub lotion all over each other's bodies on the beach?
Why? Can you play that again?
Yeah, of course. I would love to.
Thank you.
Okay.
Maury, you're great. I can't imagine life without you, Maury. You're my best friend, Maury. In my dreams, dude, we're soaking up the sun alone on the beach, rubbing lotion on each other's bodies. I think about you every day. Okay. First of all, damn it, Maury. First of all, you legit just took, like, various clips from the show and pieced that together.
No!
That sounded legit.
That sounded normal to me.
And again, thank you.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There's a Dunnville teacher. Where's Dunnville?
Dunnville?
Yeah.
Somewhere in Ontario. Hold on, let me look it up.
Dunnville Secondary teacher went before a tribunal and admitted to everything that she was accused of, including slapping a student, telling another student that it sounds like their ass cheeks are too close together.
Oh my God.
Telling a third student to, quote, lick me where I fart.
Hold on. What? This is not real.
Yeah.
An Ontario teacher
who slapped a student and told another one to, quote, lick me where I fart, received a 2-month license suspension.
Oh my.
After pleading guilty to professional misconduct for the second time in 2 years.
Get out of
here. Yeah, it's really crazy too, because I, like, oh my God, like, I had some teachers do and say some awful things, but there was no way to suspend a teacher back in the day. Like, you couldn't do anything. You'd go home and tell your dad that your teacher slapped you or told you to lick them where they fart, and your dad would be like, well, what'd you do? And I'd say, well, I did this. And he goes, hey, sirs, you're right.
I got a teacher in trouble.
You did get a teacher in trouble?
Yeah.
Of course you did, snitch.
Well, no, he had us put all of our hands on the table. And he would put our hands on the table and he'd walk on our hands if we weren't
really
paying attention.
What a mental case, man.
And whenever
what is the matter with people?
Right? And anytime I did the announcements, he would throw chalk at the speaker and tell me to shut up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, the temper of some teachers back in the day.
Was it just you that he didn't like, or was it just all students that he didn't?
He didn't like the students.
He didn't like the
students.
Like,
he refused to go on the trips. And all the parents, like, I remember my dad going to the school saying, well, why are you here? What's wrong with you?
Really?
Like, he's an angry man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Haldimand County, by the way, is where Dunnville is.
Yeah, so they say it's a serious consequence, and because it's a serious consequence, it sends a strong message to the profession. This is what they say about the teacher getting suspended, losing her license for 2 months. The 3-person committee followed the advice and suspended the teaching license of this teacher for the next 2 months.
But
and she'll
only
receive
2 months?
An official. Yeah, I know.
She's saying to lick me where I fart.
Yeah, and slapping a kid.
Like, come on. I thought that'd be like a fireable offense.
It's very difficult to fire a teacher, especially with unions and everything else. It's very
difficult.
Yeah,
but a teacher that slaps a kid?
I agree. Like, 2 months is not enough.
No. I agree with that. But I would like to know what the one kid was doing that she said that it sounded like his ass cheeks were too close together. Like, what could the situation possibly have been? I've never once been in a situation where I would look at somebody doing something or saying something where I thought that was an appropriate remark. I don't even know what you'd be getting at with that.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
But yeah, oh geez, man. I remember when I was a kid, like teachers used to, it was the Wild West back then. Like,
well, didn't teachers used to like paddle people?
Yeah.
Like, were you around then?
No, I remember I was gonna get into a fight and everybody knew that there was gonna be a fight and that this kid wanted to fight me.
Yeah.
And so there was a crowd of, I don't know, like 80 people outside.
Was this
gathered around and the circle was already there. And I remember, I fully remember my shop teacher walking me to the door and patting me on the shoulder, wishing me luck.
Yeah.
And opening the door for me.
Seriously?
Oh. Yeah. Like, no joke.
Put up your dukes.
Yeah, like, no joke.
Protect
like they,
your head.
Yeah, they knew it was going down. Like,
wow.
Fully. And I was in junior high at this point.
Oh, no.
This is like grade 7.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, like, no joke. So,
as opposed to stopping the fight.
As opposed to stopping the fight. I had another teacher that there was this older kid that wanted to whoop this kid that was my age, named David, I think. And then I remember, instead of the teacher doing something about it, I remember a teacher coming to me and this other kid who was also a big kid like me going, don't let that happen.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he basically, like, you know, sometimes when like everything is going wrong in a movie and they deputize people that, yeah, really, you know, that's what it was. He like basically deputized us and gave us the power to stop any sort of confrontation, but also put it on us as in, if anything does happen, this is on
take
you.
Care of it.
This is on you if something that's happens. Horrible. So make sure it doesn't happen.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it was the Wild West, but no teacher ever told me that it sounded like my ass cheeks were too close together.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
I found this yesterday. Let me read this to you. This may be the most savage obit ever written.
Obit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obituary.
I know what it means.
Oh, okay. Could you imagine somebody in your life that you just dislike so much?
Oh, wow.
And then when they die, you're actually the one that gets to write their obit.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine that? Think about that for a second. Think about the person in your life that you have disliked the most. And if they died, you were the one who was tasked with writing their obit.
This is just like one giant roast?
So here, let me read you this. It's short. So she's an older lady. So Kathleen Demlow was born on March 19th, 1938 to Joseph and Gertrude. She married Dennis Demlow at St. Anne's in Westboro in 1957 and had two children, Gina and Jay.
Sounds pretty good so far.
Yeah. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle, and moved to California.
Oh!
She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents. She passed away May 31st, 2008 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her.
Wow!
Can you bloody believe that?
Wow!
People are so, that's like, you just get that last word, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just like, this is the greatest.
And you've been holding onto those lines forever.
This is the greatest I'll get the last word on you that I think I may have ever read.
Yeah, you're not going to get the last laugh.
God, could you imagine your obit? Your kids, right? She abandoned her children and the world is a better place without her.
Damn.
That's your mom.
That is straight up savagery.
Yeah.
Thug life in it.
Yeah. God, I love that. That's so harsh, man. That's why you got to treat people good, man.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So, Anthony from Queer Eye on Netflix. Damn it, Maury is in love with this guy. I guess he's super hot, right? And he's like talented and knows a lot all about food and wine. And
bro, I've never seen Damn it, Maury smile so much in my entire life.
No, I know. So imagine if you are a super fan of somebody, like a stan, right? And you creep them on social and you comment and you just want to be noticed and you send them DMs and they just never acknowledge your existence, mm-hmm. which is a lot of people. A lot of people.
Well, I mean, to their defense, if they've got like literally thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, sure. It's hard to keep up with those comments and DMs.
But it's also frustrating as hell when you're the
very
fan.
Yeah.
So imagine you had the opportunity to get that person you were a huge fan of on the phone. and ask them why they ignore you.
Yes, Queen. Anthony, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am awesome. This is like the best dream come true ever. I like am totally obsessed with you. I like creep your Instagram all the time and like comment on stuff. And you never write back. And in fact, I DM you all the time and you never write back. I like write you on DM going, oh my God, you're so super hot. Oh my God. If you read the phone book, I would sit and listen.
No, you don't. You're lying. I'm adding. Hold on. We're doing this right now.
Okay. Cause my next thing was going to be like, do you want to make this young gay boy's dream come true and follow him?
Oh God.
I'm doing it right now. What is it? So spell it for me.
At Dammit Maury. DammitMaurie. Maurie
Okay. You're a liar. You never messaged me.
Yeah, check your DM. I write you all the time.
Ooh, oh my God, you have.
See?
Okay, well now I'm writing back. I just sent you a heart. There, so we can move on from this.
Oh my God.
We're officially friends on Instagram.
Oh, mission accomplished.
Right.
You made that young gay boy's dream come true.
Mark, you should do a learning annex on stalking celebrities, man. You really should. You got some strong techniques.
Are you young like me? Have you DM'd a celebrity and haven't gotten a response? I could teach you the tricks.
God. Okay, now that we're into this, let's get into the meat of this interview here. Where do you want to start?
Okay, I have two.
Okay.
You choose. I'm going to tell you the title and you choose which one you want to listen to.
Okay.
First date meal.
Okay.
Or drizzle on abs.
Excuse me.
Drizzle on abs.
Why did you even mention the first one?
Okay, so since you have like amazing abs and you show them off on your Instagram all the time and I like click like 10 times, if someone wanted
three
to
photos in 6 months isn't considered a lot, but anyway, as you are,
If someone wanted to drizzle something on your abs, what is a good ab drizzle food? Because I've heard honey is too sticky.
Maybe like, should we replicate like a Ricky Martin video or a hot wax, or does it have to be something edible?
Well, I mean, you're the food guy, so I assumed you wanted food drizzled on your abs.
I guess it should be food, right?
Yeah.
Oil, a really good first cold press extra virgin olive oil.
Oh, jeez.
Damn, Amori in there shaking his head.
We gotta put a PG-13 on this interview.
Okay, so Anthony, if it was our first date, what would you cook me for dinner? Mm-hmm. What is the sexiest food for a first date?
I would make a New Zealand spring lamb. There's something really hot about watching somebody eat meat, especially when it's off the bone. So I would like salt it perfectly, and then I would maybe do like a macadamia honey nut crust. So then I would sear it so that it'd be nice and crispy on the outside, and just like the perfect medium rare and really tender. You know when you have like a lamb lollipop and you like pull it with your teeth and the meat just like pulls right off of the bone? I think that's really hot.
Wow. You're making me all like quiver and weak.
We haven't even gotten to dessert yet.
Yeah, but you're making lamb, so you know that's not bad.
Did you just make a lamb joke?
I did.
That was good. That was very clever.
Hey, Maury, what's this guy? I gotta follow this guy now.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, talking about money is so interesting when you find out the motivations behind people. The question is this: would you accept a promotion if it did not come with a raise? Would you accept a promotion if it did not come with a raise? And shockingly, from the research that I'm reading here, 64% of people said that they would in fact accept a promotion if it didn't come with a raise. Guys are far more likely to do it compared to women. 55% of women said that they would. 72% of guys said that they would. And I think that this goes back to, you know, our lives, our relationship with work is different now. Totally. You know, we no longer want to work for the same company until we're 65. Like, you move around now. Yeah. And I think that that is maybe how people expect to get the promotion or get the raise. And that's why these numbers are so high.
I'm in that percentage.
You
that
are.
High percentage. Yes, I would, and yes, I have.
You have?
In the past. Yes, oh my God, of course.
Wow.
Hey, Kiss, it's Roz and Mocha.
First of all, I just want to say I love you guys. You guys are amazing.
Aw, thank you. What's your name?
My name's Adriana.
Adriana, what do you want to say?
I actually recently just took a promotion at my job. I'm a daycare teacher.
Yeah.
And I just got promoted to
to assistant supervisor without a raise in my pay.
Right.
Did they give you a reason?
Well, I will be getting a little bit more money once you're there for a year, but it's just because it's a privately owned daycare. We're just new, and to be honest, I love my job so much that really doesn't affect me.
So yeah. what do you think would have happened? Here's the question. If you accepted a promotion without a raise, what do you think? What was your rationale as far as your option to say no? What would have come from this had you not accepted the promotion? Do you think that it would have hurt you? No, not at all.
No, because my supervisor is so respectful of me that she knew that if I wouldn't have wanted to take it, she wouldn't have put that against me.
Did this ever cross your mind, Adriana? Because when I was in that exact same position before I took the promotion for no pay, what I thought, and tell me if you felt the same way, is that if I don't do this, they're going to go ask somebody else. And then at some point, that person may advance in the company higher than I would have had I not said yes. And at the same time, the next time that they may look to someone within the company to say, hey, we want to give you a little bit more responsibility for extra pay or for no pay, they'll just like skip right past my name because they'll say he said no the first time.
Yeah.
Why is he going to say yes this time?
Yeah, you got to kind of cover your own ass a little bit, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and I guess, that's a way of putting it too.
And they also asked these people in this survey, what is the amount of time that you would be at a new job before you can expect a promotion? And most people said 2.5 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I've been doing this 9 years, and I've worked at 2 daycares, and I knew for a fact that those daycares, I would have never been promoted because they already had a set assistant supervisor or supervisor.
See, that's what I was saying, is that our view on work now is that maybe that promotion and raise doesn't come from the place you're working. It's going to come from the next place you work. Hey, thanks so much for the call.
No problem. Have a great day.
Hi, it's Ron Zamoka.
Oh my God. Okay, so I am so happy because I listen to your show every morning.
Oh wow. What's your name?
My name's Heather. Well, I had a job last year at a factory, and I'm not to my own horn here. I did everything there. I could handle any task. So they had absolutely started to ask me to become backup supervisor. Awesome. No problem. Definitely. Promotion. Yes. Right off the bat, we don't have to give you more money for it, though.
Sometimes the promotion with no money could bite you in the ass.
Well, yeah, and that's it. I mean, why am I going to strain myself even more for this company if they're not giving me anything in return?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
it's a gamble.
Like, I will say this. There are times that it would make sense perfectly. Like, I think we have to get out of our sort of cushy mentality here. If you were a guy or a girl that worked for a place where your job was to sweep the floors, okay, and you'd been sweeping the floors for 2.5 years, and then somebody came to you and said, you no longer have to sweep floors. We're going to give you a promotion. It does not come with any more money, but your new job is all you have to do is sit there and count the amount of people who are sweeping the floors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course you would take that.
Yeah.
You know, like it depends on how drastic the workload, becomes. Somebody text this into us. Do you really want to work for a broke ass company, but I can't afford to give you an extra 10 or 15 grand a year? Sounds like they're not the long-term company anyways.
Well, needless to say, I mean, I did take the job, and 2 weeks later, I gave them my 2 weeks notice.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
I have a lot
no
happy
playing
with.
Around with you, Heather.
Yeah.
Hey, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much for listening.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Let me just make the announcement now, Roz, that at 8 o'clock, the commercial-free Roz and Mocha mix with DJ Climax, I will not be able to yell out this Friday.
Oh, no. Why?
My throat hurts.
No.
I've been sick for the past couple of days.
But can you not, like, just do... No more. You can't do it. Can you not just, like...
I can do, like, a boring version of it.
Yeah.
But I can't amplify my voice higher than what it is right now.
Okay, hold on here. Here's what we can do. We can fix this. We can do something cool.
Okay.
And Maury, do you have, like, a multi-track? What do you call that? Where you can, like... Can you layer a bunch of stuff on top of stuff on top of stuff?
What if we did this? What if we had a bunch of people call in?
Yeah.
They all yell, it's Friday.
Yeah.
And then we just take those and we just put them all together into one giant mess.
Oh, I'm good with that.
Yeah?
I'm totally fine with that.
Okay. I'm down with that. Why are you so sick? What happened?
I don't know. Well, my kid was sick.
Going on?
My kid was sick first. No, sorry. My wife was sick last week.
Yeah.
And then my kid got it. And then I thought I was in the clear because everybody in the house is like kind of A-OK. My kid's still sick.
Sure.
A little bit. And then I got it. But I don't know if it's because I go in and out of the house so much when I'm at home during the day that inside the house, we keep it icy cold.
Yeah.
And outside has just been like deathly hot.
Yeah.
So I'll go outside, spend a little bit of time outside and then run back in the house, cool off for a bit and then go back outside.
Sure.
So I'm sure that contributed to it.
Well, I don't, it's a virus. You got something from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
I know Jax is sick. Jax who works here.
No, really?
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Maureen? Maury, what? Come in here. I can't know what you're talking about.
Dude, Maury, you're in a soundproof booth.
Honestly, this is what you did. I looked at you and I was like, hey, Maury, how are you doing? And you took your hands and just pointed at your nipples. And I don't know what that means.
Can I say what happened to me?
What happened to you?
I have a stomach thing.
Yeah.
So this morning.
Oh, pause for 1 second.
Because it's like, pause, it's not
pause,
pleasant.
Pause. Maury made the mistake that a lot of people make when they're about to turn 40 or in their 40s.
Uh-oh. What do you mean?
Which is Maury has not yet learned the lesson that there's always a good chance that it's never just a fart.
Oh, no.
You get what I'm getting at?
Did that happen this morning?
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to go back into the shower.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it happened at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not here, though.
No, not here. No, no. And it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. And I don't want to goof on Maury too hard for it. But that kind of life is really unfortunate. And I know men this has happened to. I know women this has happened to.
Is that an age thing? Like, this is what my life has become now?
Yeah, it's either, you're either going to get one. Listen, when you turn 40, you can guarantee whether you're a man or a woman, you will get one unexpected gift. Okay, you're either going to accidentally poop yourself or you're going to wake up with a hemorrhoid. Right?
Oh,
that's
no.
That's what happens when you're 40.
Oh my God.
So you hopped in the shower, you showered again.
Yeah,
and then I put everything in the washing machine and I've yet to tell Matthew.
Right.
Wait, did you start the washing machine?
No, that's his job.
Dude,
I'm not allowed to push the button.
You put it in the washing machine and you didn't even turn it on.
Okay.
I'm not allowed.
Here's what you have to do.
I don't want to be in trouble for two things.
No, more. You have to right away. Oh my God, it's 40 degrees out too.
is gonna stack.
And I bet you Matthew hasn't even turned on the AC yet because he's so terrified of the bill.
Okay,
yeah, I would call him and wake him up. And
seriously?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get in trouble for three things.
And you're old.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Did we know that they were making another Willy Wonka movie? Did we talk about this already? I have a feeling we did. Did we know that they were doing like a not a remake of Willy Wonka,
like
but
an origin story?
Story. Yeah. Did
Who's
we know
playing
this?
Willy Wonka?
Well, they have a short list now. Ryan Gosling, Donald Glover, or Ezra Miller.
Who's Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller was in, wasn't Ezra Miller in Fantastic Beasts?
He was, absolutely, yeah. And he was also in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, I like that kid.
Yeah. So those are your top three candidates to play Willy Wonka in the origin story.
I think it should go to Ezra Miller.
Donald Glover seems a little old for that, if you ask me.
I was
going
to say the same thing. I would, to be honest, I would also think Ezra Miller. Second on my list would be Ryan Gosling, because I think Ryan Gosling is a little he's still a young guy, but to play a younger Willy Wonka, I think Ryan Gosling is too old.
Can I whisper a racist question into your ear?
Can you whisper a racist question into my ear?
About Donald, like Donald Glover being cast, like is because
I mean, having a black actor play Willy Wonka
because we've known him forever to be.
Yeah, I think
that was what I was going to whisper.
Yeah,
in your ear, by
I mean,
the way.
I think that if you're going to reimagine Willy Wonka, I think that you can do really whatever you want with the character. I think that you go for the best actor, but sure, you know, it's tough because you open yourself up to that immediate criticism, which in most cases is completely asinine.
Yeah.
And deliberately out of place.
But I do think Ezra Miller is
the question though was really
the person.
I've never been a huge fan of Willy Wonka. Like, I've never...
The original one is fantastic.
Yeah, no, but we've watched the movie once.
Yeah, same.
And even we read the book, and we have the book on tape, and we listened to Charlie Chocolate Factory in the car a couple of times.
Elevator?
No. And it's fine. Like, it's fine. It's okay. But yeah. I don't have this big, deep desire to get an origin story of Willy Wonka.
Thing. I didn't think that...
It's not really my thing.
People had a... attachment to something like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka the character to warrant a origin story.
And they did this with The Wizard of Oz when Zach Braff did that movie a couple of years ago.
Oh, that was so bad.
Yeah.
With what was it called?
With Mila Kunis.
With Mila Kunis. And
wasn't it called Oz or something?
Yeah, Oz the Great Powerful. Yeah.
You know what? I didn't mind it. I didn't mind that one at all. Yeah. I actually kind of liked that one.
But
to be honest,
still, I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. But like Willy Wonka and Wizard of Oz, all that stuff. I don't have that love.
Don't you
want to
know how they got the factory?
No, I don't. I don't care. It kind of ruins it sometimes.
And the building of the chocolate stream.
Nope.
How he created the chocolate flowers.
No.
I don't care.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I feel like sometimes when things are presented.
Yeah.
The way they are.
Yeah.
You should just accept that that's the way they are. I don't need to know why they are the way they are or how they became that way.
What made that whole movie wonderful and that whole story wonderful was there was this guy, this eccentric, who did what he did, where he did it, and was offering something so spectacular, but you didn't know why.
But the only thing that bothers
me made it great.
Is Roald Dahl wrote the book from where it began. Roald Dahl didn't write.
Roald Dahl?
Who is Roald Dahl?
Chocolate Factory, Roald Dahl.
Okay, let's go with Roald Dahl.
Okay, yeah. Wrote the book.
When Roald Dahl wrote the book, he didn't write the prequel. So, I mean, we're messing with a story that is...
Well, that's what happens with prequels.
Yeah, but I don't like when people mess with a story that is tried, tested, and true.
I know more. Yeah. Okay, George Lucas. So Oiled Dahl wrote the original.
Royal Dahl.
Am I saying that right, Maury?
Roald Dahl.
Oiled Dahl. What am I not getting? Say it again.
Roald Dahl. Roald, like Roald Dahl.
Oiled Dahl. Right?
Roald Dahl?
Oiled Dahl.
Oiled Dahl.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, no, I have zero interest in an Oiled Dahl story of the origins of Willy Wonka.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'll tell you what is a huge overstep, and I understand that Google and Facebook and they collect data. We all know that. And if anybody's surprised that your data is being collected, you're a fool. They all do it. That's why you just got to be careful what you put out there. But sometimes the information that they collect from you isn't necessarily a privacy issue. It's more of an embarrassment. So Google put together a list of the most misspelled words in every state in the U.S.
Okay.
And they know this because when people search things.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's from the, hey, did you mean...
Right.
Right. So you type something in, you misspell it, the thing comes up, did you mean? And then they collect that data. Wow, there's another idiot misspelled beautiful. Right. And then they release this into a list.
Yeah.
Which to me seems like an overstep. It's not that I don't know how. I might have just been quick and then I let you pick up the slack and I could backspace,
right?
And then fix it up. But why do that when you're just going to say, did you mean?
Yeah.
But your name's not attached. It doesn't say Roz misspelled.
Of course it does. You log in. Do you have Gmail?
Yeah. Oh, but I didn't know if there's like a list, like when they get the data, like
of course they know it's you. Of course they know it's you.
So every single thing that you search,
Maury. It's like anonymous when you do employee surveys.
No, every single thing that you search.
Everything you search.
Even in private browsing, Maury.
Oh my God.
Everything.
Okay, so let me go through some of these words here.
My spelling?
A lot of people don't know how to spell beautiful. California, Arizona, that's their number one word.
Hold on, in California?
Washington State.
Where everybody in California thinks that they are beautiful?
Thank you, but they're also thick, right? Maury, you want to give it a go? Beautiful is the word.
Okay,
beautiful.
F-U-L-L.
No.
Beautiful.
No, beautiful. Okay, try again. Beautiful.
B-E-A-U-T-I-F. Beautiful.
L?
Beautiful. Beautiful. That sounds like, you know what? It's like you're really cold, right? Like the heat is off, but you're such an optimistic human being that you're freezing to death and you just look around and go, oh my God. It's so beautiful. Okay. Beautiful is B-E-A-U. Maury, T-I-F-U-L is beautiful. Maury, spell yacht.
Y-A-U-T.
Incorrect.
I really thought I was right.
Yacht. Yacht.
Can it just be Y-A-T?
It could be, but it's not. Maury, spell yacht is your word.
Y. I know it starts with a Y. Y.
Are you sure? What other letter makes the Y sound?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just kidding. It does start with a Y. I just wanted to know if I could give you a second guess yourself.
I thought he was going to seriously say like E.
Okay, Maury, yacht is your word. Yacht.
Y-U-E-T.
No, Y-A-C-H-T. Yacht.
Oh, I would have never gotten that.
A vacuum, something you're not allowed to touch in the house, Maury? One of many things. Vacuum.
V-A-C-U-M.
Incorrect.
V-A-C-U-M-E.
Incorrect.
V-A-C.
Sorry.
Slipped.
Whoops.
Vacuum, Maury, is V-A-C-U-U-M. If you can
Why
believe
do you
that.
Need to use?
I don't know. It's a really interesting question. Oh, here we go. I believe that is Alabama. Schedule is the number one word that people cannot spell in Alabama. Schedule. Or schedule, as we say in Canada.
Okay, S-K. S-C-H. E D U L E.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
S C H E D U L E.
Wow. Wow, we've never heard that. I even know you had a right button.
Wow.
It took me forever to find it.
That's okay. Crazy. Let's do one more. Oh, okay. Resume. Maury. Resume.
R-E-S-O-M-E.
Resume. By the way, these are Google put together the list of the most misspelled words state by state in the U.S. according to what people have typed into the search bar.
Here we go.
Maury, one more time. Resume.
R-E-S-U-M-E-A.
Resume.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A1 Steak Sauce is getting into the candle business now.
Excuse me?
A1 Steak Sauce is now getting into the candle business.
Is it the candle going to smell like steak or is it going to smell like A1?
Ah, you have three scents to choose from, Roz.
Here we go.
You have original meat. have backyard barbecue.
Oh, yes.
And you have one called Classic Burger.
Okay.
And this is what the candle looks like. It just looks like a jar of A1 sauce.
It looks like a jar of A1 sauce. Yeah, you're right.
And then you light it up.
It's interesting with, we have a lot of candles in the house.
Yeah.
And I'm really quite particular about smells. Catherine's very particular about smells, but our smells don't really match.
What do you mean?
What we like.
What do you like?
Because I don't like this. I can't stand the smell of lavender.
Oh,
so
really?
Anything with lavender in it, I just can't do it.
And Catherine likes sandalwood.
Yeah, I don't mind sandalwood.
I like sandalwood.
Yeah, I don't mind sandalwood, but
I like anything kind of outdoorsy.
I like citrus.
Oh, samesies.
I like citrus. I like vanillas.
Oh, samesies.
I like.
And no wonder we're best friends.
Yep.
Yes, we are.
I like citruses. I like vanillas. I'm not so much into the green planty kind of thing.
I got in trouble for buying a candle this weekend.
Yeah.
Because it's this big candle and the smell was the best thing I've ever smelled. It was tobacco and patchouli.
Right. See, I don't like patchouli.
Yeah, patchouli is gross.
It's
yeah.
one of my favorite smells. I love patchouli.
Yeah. And how much did you pay for this candle?
It was like $40 for this candle. And the lady said, when the candle's done, you can keep the container.
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't we? They're not going to come and get it.
I was blown away.
Could you imagine going to a shoe store and they go,
and once you get them home, the box is yours. And you're like, for real? Are you kidding me? Like, this is amazing. I can make a diorama.
I don't have to bring it in for you. I don't have to bring it back to the store.
Name a scene. I got a box now. It's diorama time. Wait. Get a little cellophane, blue construction paper. Lake.
What?
Matthew, get the pine cones.
It was a huge selling feature. I'm like, you're so right. Oh my God, the things I can do with this container.
So what are you going to do with the candle container then?
Because it comes in this, like, it looks like a concrete block. And when the candle's done, you have a concrete block.
Yeah, it's for all your concrete block needs. Right?
Wait, to do what with, though?
She said you could put loose change in there, you could put keys in there. She started listing all the things you could put in this concrete block.
So the woman is a giant pocket?
Jesus Christ. So you just went to a store where a woman explained to you the concept of a container?
All the things you can put in
all the things that you can put in something.
You can put change. Okay, you can put your keys.
I have a long
coupons.
I have a long list of things that you can put in things. Let me run down the list for you.
And you just start telling me what appeals to you.
And so Matthew doesn't like the smell, but if he doesn't like the smell, how are you ever eventually going to have a place to put your keys?
Oh, he wants me to dig it out, throw out the candle so we can have the concrete floor.
So gross.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maury, you wanted to tell some jokes today, did you not?
Yeah, oh my God.
Based on what? Hold on.
Because today is occasion? A special day.
Hold on. It's not your birthday.
Not yet. What is last it? Week in my 30s, though.
What are you talking about?
It shows.
Wow, that trumps the awesome compliment I got yesterday.
Hold on. Let's finish. Let's go. Wow. Okay, so what was the compliment you got yesterday?
Somebody said I look 26.
Who said that? Obviously,
who?
Somebody who's insane.
Who said that? Who?
Somebody came and said hello and was like, and I don't know how it came up. I'm like, I'm turning 40 in a week, and they're like, but you look 26.
What do you mean somebody came up to you yesterday? Where were you?
I was walking in the street, and normally I ignore this when it happens, but somebody said, are you Maury from the Roz and Mocha Show? And I said, yes. And they said, we were talking, and it was their birthday. That's why it came up. And I said, my birthday's in a week. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you look 27.
Right. Do you think it's because you're real little?
Well, I think that taller people, just because they're tall, look older.
Also the baby fat, I guess, too, right?
I was going to say, like, my smooth skin.
Also your smooth skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I have no hair anywhere.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you do. Your chest and your belly. Especially your belly. Yeah, look at all that hair. It's like you're wearing a carpet.
No, I will say more. I would look at you and I would say that I would peg you younger than 40.
How much younger?
Well, see, now you've ruined it.
No. I thought I was supposed to ask. I thought I'm setting myself up for you to say 39.
Okay, 39.
Okay. Because you look like 31.
Right, thank you, Maury. Thank you. Anyway, did you have something you wanted to do here, man?
Yes, today is Cheese Day.
All right, damn it, Maury, with the jokes.
Oh, hold on here.
What is Cheese Day? Is it like National Cheese Day? Is that the deal?
It's National Cheese Day. Oh, okay. Celebrate your cheese.
Let me know so I can get everything ready here, listen.
It is a very good day.
Oh man.
Okay.
My kid wants to come in and do jokes with you, by the way, Maury.
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she wants to spit some.
Finally, she wants to talk to me.
No, oh. I didn't say that.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, we're going to do this just because.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's already started.
Welcome
Mocha,
to
by the
stage.
Way.
All right.
It's already started.
Give him Maury.
Oh my God, what was that? You sound like one of the dragons from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You know when you laugh like that, one eye almost completely closes? Or you look like...
What is that?
I don't know. You look like a pirate all of a sudden.
That's so true. Right eye.
Right eye. Yeah, and everything shifts to one side of your face. Like your mouth even starts to move over.
It's like I'm having a thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I need my glasses to read.
Took his glasses off because he started to cry.
Okay, damn it, Maury, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened after an explosion at a French cheese factory?
What?
All that was left was debris. I really like that one.
Was that the best?
Yeah, I really should have ended with that. What do you call a cheese that is sad?
What do you call a cheese that's sad, Maury?
Blue cheese.
There you go.
What do you call cheese that isn't yours?
Nacho cheese.
That's right.
Oh snap.
Okay. Which genre of music appeals to most cheeses?
R&B.
Oh, jeez. My God. Mocha with the savagery.
When should you keep an eye on your cheese?
When should you keep
an eye on your cheese?
I don't know.
When it's up to no Gouda. Whom pages, did the cheese...
And pages of cheese jokes, by the way. How many pages do you have?
It's got a lot of cheese.
His eye's going again.
Okay.
What is going on right now?
Did the cheesy Bible start with?
What? Excuse me?
Whom did the cheesy Bible start with?
Whom did the cheesy Bible start with? I don't know.
Adam.
Jesus of Nazareth?
Edom and Eve.
What?
Edom and Eve.
Edom and Eve.
Instead of Adam and Eve, because Edom is a kind of cheese,
okay,
right?
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What hotel do mice stay in?
What hotel do mice stay in?
The Stilton. Instead of the Hilton?
Thank you.
The what?
The Stilton.
What kind of cheese is Stilton?
Stilton cheese. It's a very smelly cheese. What happened after an explosion at a French cheese factory?
A lot of debris?
Yeah.
What is that laugh you have today?
Okay, we're done.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That eye.
Okay, and here's a song on Kiss.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic.
What is your name?
Vicky.
Brittany, why are you so fantastic today?
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Wow, thank you.
There you go.
How old are you today, Brittany?
36.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect age. 36 is the perfect age.
So what happens when your birthday falls on a Monday? Do you celebrate the weekend before? Do you celebrate the week of? Do you celebrate the weekend after?
It's usually the weekend before.
Oh, okay. So you did all the big celebration Saturday and yesterday.
Well, not the big one. I mean, normally that's what happens. But yesterday I just had dinner with the kids and the husband. Yeah. And then next Saturday my dad's throwing me a barbecue.
Oh, nice.
Wow, there you go.
But then that means that on your actual day, nobody really cares.
Well, I've gotten some text messages and Facebook messages, but no, nothing's really happening today.
Yeah, no, your actual birthday day is for social media and close family and friends to sort of text you or call you.
And at work, they decorate your locker.
Sure. The celebration, though, goes on whenever you decide to get everybody together. The birthday celebration can really happen at any point.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You just want to feel some love on the actual day.
Nah, sure, I get that. I get that. Would you like us to sing you happy birthday?
I would love that.
And what's your name again?
It's Vicky.
Vicky?
Yes.
Vicky with a V. Okay.
Like Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to get us a note here. Hold on.
Ready. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vicky.
Is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There's a viral video out right now of another animal sounding like a human being. And we've gone through this before where, I don't know what it is, man, but these animals, they don't want to be animals no more. They want to sound like human beings.
It's called evolution, man.
Something's about to happen, and it's not looking good for us. if you thought the robots were going to take over and AI and everything, nope. Them animals been scheming.
I've seen Planet of the Apes, man. I know how this ends. Not good for us.
Not at all. Caesar is home. So let's go through these real quick.
Okay.
Of course, we have goats yelling like people.
Yep. So is that a goat at the end there?
Yeah, it's still a goat.
Kidding me. Okay.
Who could forget the no-no cat? The cat just keeps, instead of meowing, just keeps saying no, 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 no.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Little kid. No, 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 no. My heart breaks.
No, 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 no.
My heart breaks for that poor little cat.
And you want to talk about evolution? What about this dog who says, I love you?
Mishka, I love you. Mishka, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Good girl.
I love you.
They're taking over. The front door, man.
They're taking over. So the next one that's going viral right
don't
now.
Don't tell me what the animal is. Can I hear it first?
Yes.
Okay.
And this one is singing opera. Like for real. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You cannot keep interrupting. No. I'm having a conversation. Walter, I'm right here, baby.
Okay.
What is that? First of all,
the animal's name is Walter.
Yeah, what is that?
The Walter thing threw me off because I'm going to say it has to be a dog because I don't know what other animal you would name Walter. Like, I don't know somebody who would name a bird Walter. I don't know anybody who would name a dog Walter, but I'm going to go with it. Is it a dog?
It is a dog.
Okay.
It's a dog singing opera.
What's he so upset about?
You cannot keep interrupting. No. I'm having a conversation. Walter, I'm right here, baby.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Happy birthday today to Russell Brand, who turns 43.
Oh, yeah?
And also Angelina Jolie.
Oh, Angelina.
How old do you think Angelina Jolie is?
Angelina Jolie, how old are you today? You are...
It's a tough call because I always get thrown when people started their careers when they were young because I forget how long they've just been in my life. Like, I don't really remember show business without Angelina Jolie really in it because she was young when she started.
I'm going to say Angelina Jolie is 37 years old.
Incorrect. This may be the most off that you've been in a really long time.
Don't tell me younger.
No.
Older?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, duh. Okay.
No, same.
42.
43.
No, really?
Yeah.
No.
She's older than you.
No, she's not. She's my age.
I thought you were 42.
Yeah, Angelina's 43. Which reminds me of that brilliant time when Angelina was in town for the film festival and Maury talked to her on a red carpet. And she was here, I guess she was still together with Brad Pitt at the time. And
it was for Moneyball.
The movie was Moneyball. Yeah. And everybody just wanted a piece of Angelina Jolie to get, like, there was so much going on in their lives at the time. And with her being a UN ambassador and just dealing with all this stuff, like, yeah, she's making
a lot of news.
Yeah. She's such an interesting person. And Maury was on the carpet and people hated him for this.
Because Maury's the only person in the entire city that got a question with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, and so this was the question that he asked her.
Angelina, if you were to play baseball, what position would you play?
I don't know enough about baseball to tell you.
I love it. Oh, also, who doesn't know enough about baseball to just name a position?
Like, off the top of your head, you should have just said, like, pitcher.
Right.
Done.
Thank you.
Move on. Done.
Over the years, as this clip has aged, I feel less rage for Maury and more rage for Angelina Jolie. You know, your husband's movie is about baseball. I get that, right? You grew up in America. for the most part, you should know enough about the world to be able to just name one baseball position.
One thing.
Where
she could have even said coach.
Sure. Even if she had said, you know, I'm not a fan of baseball, I would never play. But she said, I don't know enough about baseball to even say.
Angelina, if you were to play baseball, what position would you play?
I don't know enough about baseball to tell you.
Right, I don't know enough about baseball to even name a baseball position.
Yeah.
Which I find kind of shocking for a human being on this earth. Like, even
you're not wrong.
You don't have to say shortstop. You don't even have to say outfield because everybody is out in the field. I get that. It gets confusing.
Sure.
But my God, you know, pitcher.
Yeah. That's the first one that would come to my mind.
Like,
is
you
pitcher.
Can, you
That's
know,
it.
You know, somebody pitches. That's just what happens. Like, you understand that as a human on earth.
Boy, oh
that,
boy, that baseball, people mad.
That baseball has. Even if you had said basketball and you said, what would be your favorite position? I would be like, I don't know enough basketball to even name one.
Yeah.
Like, start naming positions on a basketball team. I don't really know. You know what I mean? It's kind of difficult.
I can't.
It's kind of difficult. I don't know. Do they have a center?
Yes.
Sure they do. That's really it. But everybody knows pitcher.
Yeah.
Right? Even if she had said the hitter, I would have been okay with that.
She doesn't know enough.
Right. Angelina, if you were to play baseball, what position would you play?
I don't know enough about baseball to tell you.
Right?
Angelina.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Who doesn't love a good pun, right?
Of course.
And who doesn't love like a cheesy newscaster, right?
Oh, the best.
But oftentimes when you put those two things together, it doesn't go over well at all. And people were freaking out over this. So this was from San Diego and a local television station.
Same place that Ron Burgundy's from?
Yeah, exactly.
This is newscast?
Yeah.
San Diego.
So Dave Scott is the reporter out in the field. Older guy, looks like he's been doing this forever.
Yeah.
And they sent him, he got one of those ridiculous assignments. You know, you see people on TV and they send them out to like the most ridiculous thing ever and they got to make hay, you know? So they sent him to something called the Inflatable Run. The Inflatable Run is a festival and sort of like a fun activity-based day with all inflatable things. Inflatable bouncy castles, those guys that you see out in front of used car things, those big inflatable men with the wacky arms, inflatable boats, inflatable everything,
sure, right?
So it's the Inflatable Festival. And so when the reporter in the field is talking to the stuck-up anchor back at the desk,
oh, no.
The reporter in the field starts to sort of do what Maury would do, which is have fun with the word inflatable and starts asking him about inflation.
You know, usually when you're talking about the world of inflation, you guys, you probably notice, is that a good thing or not a good thing? Inflation.
Oh no, they don't know how to answer.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
Is inflation in our world a good thing or not a good thing?
It depends upon what the topic is. What are we talking about? Generally, inflation. If you have an inflatable boat,
that's a good thing. But generally, when you hear the word inflation,
not economically,
something good come to mind.
Oh no!
For me, yeah.
Well, let me tell you that you're right about, if you say good, you're right, because this is the world of inflatables. Give yourselves a nice round of applause, everybody. These are just the volunteers coming out here today.
Oh, no. Okay,
so that did not
First
go
of all,
well.
That segment is going on way too long.
Okay.
Just get to the point, bro.
Okay. And then he starts talking to the people who are there, right?
What kind of fun do you think you're going to have today?
Lots of fun.
Lots of fun. That's a good kind.
Helping
everybody. Something.
That's the worst.
I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
What kind of fun do you think you can find here today? All kinds of fun.
Oh no! Worst news segment ever. What do you think of inflation?
Yeah, I know. You know what happened? I can tell you right now, this is exactly what happened, is we would send Maury down to the Inflatable Festival, and Maury would go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down and do inflation jokes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this would be. This is Maury in 30 years.
Oh, no, 30. I was going to say, like, next week.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
How are you? Yeah, no, I'm good. I kind of feel sick. I think I'm getting a cold or something.
Uh-oh. What'd you eat last night?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't remember what you ate last night?
Yeah, I do. I just don't want to say.
Oh, is it bad?
No, what's not bad? I sort of, whenever I start on something that I haven't had in a while, I just binge on it and where I just obsess about it, and then I make it for every night for dinner for a week. And my latest obsession, which I've had, I think, 3 out of 4 nights, has been chicken nachos.
Oh.
Right.
How many kinds of cheese?
Two kinds of cheese, I guess.
For 3 nights?
Yeah.
That's a heavy meal.
It's a heavy meal.
Tell you what I'm going to do.
Which is what, Maury?
I'm going to feel I broke the microphone.
Oh my God, Maury.
Okay, stop breaking the equipment. Okay, what are you going to do, Maury?
I'll feel your glands and tell you if they're swollen.
No. With what? No, I mean.
Like the doctor.
No, I don't need you to feel anything of mine.
I know how to do this.
To find out if it's swollen.
I'll tell you if your glands are swollen.
No.
But it's not his glands. He didn't say
no, but if he says that he's feeling sick, usually your glands swell up as a sign of sickness.
No, that's like...
I would, what you don't understand, Maury, is I'm like a puffer fish. Like when you start to come near me, I swell up anyway as a defense mechanism. So like, it's just going to happen
all
naturally.
All the hairs on his body stand up.
Yeah. Like I try and hurt you. Like everything on my body goes into like defensive mode when you come near me.
Just come here. Let me feel your glands.
Oh, Jesus. Hold on.
With the broken microphone.
Okay. Can you just stop?
Just put the microphone down, man.
Okay. What are you doing? Hold on a second here. Do you even know what you're doing?
My grandmother is a nurse.
I didn't ask if your grandmother was a nurse. Also, why would I ever ask that?
Yeah. That's like me saying, yeah, I've been to the doctor once.
Yeah.
My grandmother's a nurse. My uncle's a doctor.
Yeah, but
my uncle delivered Jim Carrey.
Right, but nobody would ever say that. You would never say, you know, I got to go to court, and you'd be like, don't worry, I got it. I can defend you. My uncle's a lawyer. You know what I mean? Like you would.
I've watched every single season of Suits.
I would never allow that to happen.
I'm warming my hands for you.
No. Okay, just.
What did you eat prior to walking into this room?
All I had was a tea.
Okay. Let's just assume everything. Okay.
I know, because your hands are always greasy. That's why I ask.
Your hands are so greasy. Okay. It's like you have. Okay, go. Fish for fingers.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
So Maury has his index and middle finger on both hands.
Why are you
on both sides of Roz's neck?
Okay, I think I found them.
What, his glands?
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't be anywhere else other than in one specific spot.
I feel something.
That's what she said.
Okay, you know what Maury's fingers feel like?
What?
Okay, take 2 glue sticks. Put them in the fridge for 5 minutes and then take them out and wind them out the entire way and then touch your face with them. That's what Maury's fingers feel like. You know, those aren't fake. They're violation sticks is what those little things are.
I think you're good.
No, thanks, Maury. Here we go. The
Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Hey, it's my first day back to work from my mat leave.
Wow. There we go. Congratulations.
How you feeling?
So, I feel great. I've kind of, like, it's not my first, like, I've kind of been back a couple of days, like a transition day. But this is my first, like, morning, full day.
So, did you just leave the kid at home with, like, a credit card and the phone in case he needs a pizza or something?
Yeah, the phone is locked again. No, you can hear him. Can't you hear him? He's in the back seat. I'm driving him to my in-laws right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Now, did you say, is this your first kid?
My first kid.
Oh, okay. And what type of emotions were you feeling this morning when you got up, realizing that it's going to be the first time that you're going to be away from your child heading back to work?
Well, thanks. Now I'm going to cry. No, I'm excited. I mean, I was ready to go back to work. He's going to my in-laws, so it's not like he's going to be with strangers, I guess. I don't know. So he probably won't even know that I'm gone the whole day. Like, he won't even care.
Yeah.
Because he's with no, and, you know, going to eat Italian food and watch Italian TV. I'm going to come home and go pick him up, and he's going to be like, oh, yeah, that's great. I do like you, too.
How old? I guess just like a year? Did you take the full year?
Or
did you take
a little bit more? Yeah. He'll be a year and 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's tough when you got to figure out what to do with the kid who's one, because it's like daycare is even like they're just lumps still at that point. You know what I mean? Like they're mobile and everything else, but they're just lumps. Like it's not like they can start to reason and, you know, learn things and, you know, fall in line, you know, I guess that you would when you're at a daycare with structure. They're just, they're wild. They're still feral at that age.
What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa. So do you think that you're going to be the type of person where on your first day back at work from mat leave, you're going to be calling your in-laws maybe
an hour or every, before lunch, maybe after lunch? I trust my in-laws a lot. Like both my parents and my in-laws, I would trust them both with my kid at any given time.
Oh, no. I don't mean because you don't trust them. I mean because you're going to miss your child so much.
Yeah, but I know, knowing my in-laws, I will get kind of updates throughout the day.
Sure.
All right.
I feel like I'll get hey, by the way, this is what he had for lunch, and okay, now he's napping, and that kind of stuff. So
when he pooped.
No, that's not really an issue anymore. Oh. Maybe for the first month, when he poop every hour. Now it's kind of like, hey, by the way, I changed 3 diapers today.
God, I don't miss those days, man. I tell you, the terrible transition is that there's so many things that are just awful about having a kid.
Oh God! Okay,
there are so many.
Pay attention, Lisa.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what's awful.
Wait, I should have called you guys a year ago.
No, I'll tell you what's awful. There's awful things about having a kid. You know what's awful is when it's Sunday and it's February and it's 10 o'clock at night and you realize you have 1 diaper left in the house.
Oh yeah, then you gotta leave.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
You never leave yourself with one diaper.
But sometimes it happens though. Sometimes somebody gets the flu and then you got to come home after work and you're taking care of things and somebody didn't count the diapers. You know what I'm saying? It happens, man. Awful things. There's some awful things, right? So, but the thing that sucks is I don't ever remember buying the last pack of diapers ever so we could celebrate.
Because
it's a transition that just fizzles.
Yeah.
Right? You never say, last diapers.
Yeah.
You never get that moment because you transition to potty training.
Yes. And then after potty training, that's it.
Yes. And it just sort of fizzles.
Right.
So you never get to celebrate the last pain in the ass outing of having to buy diapers. You just never celebrate that, which sucks.
Well, maybe
you're
I need to mark this down and make sure that I do kind of celebrate it. Maybe I should just celebrate every box of diapers from now until whatever.
Yeah.
And hope that it's my last box.
Yes, please do.
Hey, what's your little one's name, Lisa?
His name's John.
John. All right. Well, all the best to you and your family. Good luck on your first day back at work after mat leave. It sounds like you're in a great place right now. You sound extremely happy and very comfortable. So I think you're gonna do really well today.
I think so too. And by the way, in all honesty, kids are the best, right? You guys know. Oh. You guys both have kids. Cruz is just adorable.
Aw, okay, thank
I just,
you.
I just want to, not to be, cannibalism, but I want to eat his face.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay.
Okay. You're just the cutest.
Please, and Lisa, next time you see us at Longo's, do not say hi. I'm just kidding.
It's really sweet that you guys post stuff about your kids online. It's really sweet.
Aw, thank you, Lisa. We appreciate you so much.
All right, take care, guys.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kimberly and Ron from Minnesota made a pact that said simply, and this is right out of a movie, man. If you're still 50, if you're still single when you're 50, and I'm still single when I'm 50, why don't we just marry each other? They're best friends.
Yeah.
And they made that pact years ago. And then it just so happens they were both single in their 50s and they followed through with it.
Who does that?
Yeah.
You always joke about it.
Totally.
But Kimberly and Ron did it. Hey, Kimberly, welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Hi, good morning. I'm good.
You guys are a Netflix movie come to life.
What's funny is the reporter that actually did the original story from the Star Tribune, Chris Hewitt, said, I swear to God, you could do a rom-com with this movie when he first started talking to us.
And has anybody approached you? Since that article came out, has anybody approached you?
No.
Okay.
Do you want to verbally give us the rights to your story now or no?
No, I think
okay.
I'll keep
okay,
them.
You're going to hang on to that. Okay, we had to try. So when did this pact happen that you guys made with each other, you and Ron, that if you guys are still single by the time you're 50, that you'd marry each other? When did you make this pact?
I think we've come to, we don't remember exactly, but we both had to have been in our 30s.
Okay.
When we did it, both single, out of relationships. I was raising two kids on my own. And it was just one of those jokingly conversations, kind of like, you know, when you make it big, you know, don't forget the little people kind of a thing. And we were just joking around with, yeah, you know what? We're tired of kind of the dating game and the BS that goes with it and talking about growing old and, you know, the benefits and the kids and everything. And I just jokingly said, okay, you know, if you're single, let's just do this. Let's just get married when, you know, when we're 50 and I'm the youngest. He's like, deal, done deal.
So, Kimberly, before marrying Ron, all these years, you got married, he got married, and you had kids, he had kids, correct?
He does not have any
children. Oh, he doesn't have any kids. Okay, but you have kids.
I have two, Kayla and Connor.
Okay, so during all that time when you were each with other people, did those, your spouse at the time, know about Ron? And did Ron's, like, girlfriends or wives or whoever know about you?
Yes. I mean, our respected partners through all of our relationships always knew that we were friends.
So even though that you guys
always knew that we were friends,
you had made this deal sort of years ago. But when it actually came time, was there a proposal? And what did that proposal look like?
Yeah, he actually did propose to me. It was New Year's Eve of last year when it was frigid here. I'm sure you guys understand the word frigid.
Yeah.
We went up to a place in Two Harbors, Duluth, Minnesota, called Gooseberry Falls. And Ron loves Gooseberry Falls and frozen waterfalls. And of course, it was like 28 below for the temperature.
Yeah.
Long story short, I turned around and there he was on one knee with a ring.
Now, oh, Ron, the romantic.
Now, I know that you guys had said if you were both 50, that you guys would marry each other. Now, Ron's 54, you're 51. So when he turned 50, was he like tapping on his watch being like, yo,
TikTok.
I'm 50.
TikTok, Kimberly.
we did not say when I'm 54.
No, during all of that time, we were with other people.
Wow. That's crazy.
So it was just kind of, I mean, it was when, once we started dating through these last couple of years, it was one of those light bulb moments. And I turned to him and I said, do you remember that stupid, silly pact we made whenever how old we were, that we were 50 and we weren't even engaged at the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God. Yeah. And I said, holy crap. We are actually, like, you know, we're dating each other again. I mean, that's how it's just come complete, like, full circle in a weird, wonderful way.
Well, congratulations to you and Ron.
We love that.
You guys are great.
We need more feel good stories in this world right now.
We need more Rons. We need more Kimberlys. We need more people like you.
Wait, did you guys go on a honeymoon? Will you be going on a honeymoon?
We did not. We went right back to work on Monday. I think we're going to try and do something next year.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Well, Kimberly, thanks very much for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show. We love your story.
Well, thank you very much.
And because you agreed to it earlier, we're going to turn this into a Netflix movie.
Will you let me know when all of this happens, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, no problem. But it's going to be Valerie and Rick.
Yeah. Thanks, Kimberly.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yo, you heard of this guy named Nem?
No.
Okay, he's a YouTuber and an independent rapper. And he's making headlines. He's aspiring.
Oh, okay, I got you.
He's making headlines for the amount of times he's seen Avengers Infinity War. And every time he went to the movie theater, he took a selfie in front of the movie poster. One was from inside the theater, actually. And every picture that he's taking, he's wearing a different Marvel-themed shirt.
That sounds like something that Maury would fake.
Totally. Black Panther, Iron Man, Spider-Man, X-Men, all that stuff, right? And super easy to fake. You just bring a bunch of t-shirts with you to the theater.
There you go.
But his proof are the movie tickets that he bought because they're all date stamped.
Right.
And he saved them all and created this long Twitter thread.
And Avengers Infinity War isn't something that you can casually see a bunch of times. It is a very long movie.
Very long. Like 2.5.
Yeah.
Over 2.5 hours. So his tweet started on May 2nd after he watched the movie 5 times already. And his tweets read like this. 6 day watching Infinity War. 10th day watching Infinity War. Guys, I'm not joking or faking. Check out the receipts. Oh man, you thought it was over? 14th time watching Infinity War. Wow. This one he's wearing like a Spider-Man shirt, right? The party don't stop. Took a few days off to shoot a music video, but we back. 18th time watching Infinity War. Saw Deadpool 2 last night. Funniest movie of the year. But yeah, we back at it again. 20th time watching Infinity War. Michael Jordan of the box office. 23rd time watching Infinity War.
Wow.
A couple days later, even though I stayed up all night playing Fortnite, we back, baby. 29th time watching Infinity War.
29?
29. And it doesn't stop there.
Oh, God.
Wakanda Forever, 40th time watching Infinity War. At the count right now?
Yeah.
He has watched Infinity War 42 times, and he doesn't plan on stopping.
Oh, my God. When was Infinity War released?
Infinity War was, what are we in now, June? Infinity War was released like...
April 27th.
Yeah. Well over a month ago. And... this is in the States, in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So he's at what now? 40?
He's at 42. 42. Sorry, he's going for number 43. And this guy has spent watching Infinity War 43 times in U.S. dollars, at least $383.
Yeah. Jesus.
But once you put that out on Twitter,
yeah,
you have to continue. Like, there's no...
there's no, I know. That's the problem.
There's like no end because now you're at that peak. You're 43 is your peak now that you're going for.
The mob will build you up and they will also tear you down.
Yeah. Like what is the number? Yeah. Is it 50 and then you stop? Or do you just keep climbing and go to 100 and then you stop? Or do you try to see the movie every single day until the end of its theatrical run?
Here's what I would like to see happen right now is I would like to see somebody come out of the gate and commit even harder.
Oh, no.
And
like challenge him?
Well, you can go several times in a day.
Yeah. I would like to see that happen. I would like to see somebody try and catch up. That's how this that's how the story should end.
When the battle is on.
It is called Infinity War.
It really is.
You know?
That's so true. It is Infinity War. Oh, who's going to step up?
Somebody should step up. Yeah. I may actually bankroll it if somebody wants to take this guy down. If you have the kind of life that you can go 5 times a day.
Damn.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, did Miss America shook the world.
Yeah, man. I mean,
now hold
on. They had to, though, right?
Did they, though?
I mean, they didn't have to. They can do whatever they want. If you miss a story.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Gretchen Carlson was Miss America, right, Maury? Find that out for me. She was a pageant winner, I believe. So Gretchen Carlson, former Fox News host, and she was one of the people that was instrumental in taking down Roger Ailes. She was Miss America. Like, are you? Did she win or she was a contestant? Tell me.
She was crowned in 1989.
1989, Gretchen Carlson. So she's been through this. So just so you know where her point of view is, she's not an outsider coming in to shake things up. So she does an interview. She's the new chairwoman of Miss America. And they've implemented some drastic changes to the pageant. One is that it's not even a pageant anymore. So this is Gretchen Carlson yesterday explaining the new Miss America.
We are no longer a pageant. We are a competition. We will no longer judge our candidates on their outward physical appearance. That's huge.
That's huge.
And that means that we will no longer have a swimsuit competition. And that is official as of September 9th when we have our competition in Atlantic City. We'll also be revamping our evening gown competition phase as well. And so we're no longer judging women when they come out in their chosen attire, their evening wear, whatever they choose to do. It's going to be what comes out of their mouth that we're interested in when they talk about their social impact initiatives.
Women of all shapes and sizes.
It's very difficult to talk about without somebody calling you a perv, but I think that there's room for everything in the world. And
I don't think you're alone.
And as far as I know, if somebody had said that they were involved with Miss America and they were poorly treated and they felt victimized and they were forced into doing something that they did not want to do, I would be behind you 100% saying, shut that garbage down.
Have any of the contestants or former contestants
No, I don't think they're allowed to.
Said
really.
Anything about it?
No, I don't think they're not allowed to. Like, Miss America, people take it seriously, and that's my thing. Is that I've met and over the years and just interviewed like a lot of people who are involved in pageants, and most women think that it was an incredible opportunity. They're proud of what they did. They put in a ton of work, and nobody's forcing them to do it. And more importantly, nobody's forcing anybody to watch this.
Yeah,
and
millions of people still watch.
I'm all for change. I really am. But where does this sort of change end when you're not, you know, sort of judging somebody? I get because there's a point system and, you know, you're judging somebody in a bikini. But so what if that's what they want to do?
Yeah.
But where does that end? What like, where's the line then? What do we do about America's Next Top Model?
Yeah, because that's...
Do we have to look at America's Next Top Model now?
I'm sure that's next.
Do we, like, I just don't know where this ends. I'm fine if you want to change things. That's fine. Go ahead and change things. However, I do believe that all that stuff can coexist in a world happily. I think that we can be woke and we can fight for what's right, but we can also still have the ability to compete in a bikini if we want to compete in bikinis. I think that everybody should have that right. Damn it, Maury, when the story broke, took it to the streets to find out. I'm curious.
ASAP.
I'm curious.
Roz, don't be silly. You would win on inner beauty and outer beauty.
Thank you.
When you hear this news, what are your thoughts?
I'm a bit shocked. It'd be interesting to see what they gauge it on. Yeah. How are they going to judge that? I mean, I still think that there's still some tradition with even, say, the evening wear. No, I think it's a good idea. It's just, I'm just shocked.
All right, what are your thoughts?
I just don't see why they can't incorporate a little bit of both. Mm. I mean, because you have a traditional beauty pageant that has always been structured in this way. So why not just delve into different aspects of a contestant's character as well? Why not just fold it into the mix?
I think it's an absolute great opportunity for women to show themselves as who they are, not as just a pageant queen. But I think that it's a great aspect for women now that they can actually do these things and they can actually have a different type of show instead of just making it straight edge, hi, I'm wearing a bikini.
No, that's special that they're doing that, but I think that they should incorporate the bikini because beauty's on the outside too. It's not only on the inside, but inside does count a lot.
What are your thoughts on this this story?
I think it's ridiculous because it's about physical appearance, and I think that's it. It's a terrible idea.
So when you hear something like this, this news today about Miss America, what are your thoughts?
Interview is nice, but you want to see the other stuff as well. So I think this, it could hurt the show a little bit for some viewers, but it might bring a different kind of audience now.
I think it's beautiful that they're going off of, you know, the inner beauty side of things. But at the same time, most of the time, like, this the pageant has been focused on the outer beauty. And, I mean, people have to show off what they got. Right, it's just the outside matters as much as the inside.
Would you watch if there were no swimsuits?
Probably not.
Oh damn!
I like swimsuits.
I like it completely superficial. I do because that's what we all want to see. Like that's what makes it fun. We like it superficial. That's why we watch it. We want to see what it's all about. Pretend.
Wow. Yeah.
It's all about like. Things you can't have.
Wow.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Aha! America's Got Talent on City TV this fall, baby.
Yeah. I like Howie Mandel.
He's I always a real have. Nice guy.
I used to watch Howie Mandel when I was a kid when he did that character Bobby. Remember he talked like a baby?
Oh my God. Dude, can I tell you? I used to love that show.
Yeah. And then, and Howie Mandel, the thing that really, I mean, made him famous, one, he was brilliant. But it's so funny because before the Bobby voice, the thing that made Howie Mandel famous wasn't even a joke he told. It was when he would put a rubber glove on his head and blow it up with his nose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Right? Remember that? That was such a huge part of his act.
Holy cow. I forgot
and,
about
yeah,
that.
Like, and he has done, Howie Mandel is so brilliant and he has done so much and he's had this just incredible career. But he got famous for putting a rubber glove on his head and blowing it up with his nose.
And Howie Mandel,
so
correct
looked
me
like,
if I'm wrong,
it looked like a chicken in a space helmet, right?
Howie Mandel, he's germaphobe, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't shake hands or anything.
He does the fist bump.
Did he let you fist bump him yesterday, Dan Mori? Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
did you try to shake his hand or no? Oh, you did? And what did he say? Or he just put his fist out?
Yeah, he just puts his fist out. Because you forget all the time.
Totally.
Because right? really,
it's just
really
by just instinct. You meet somebody, you want to shake their hand, right?
Yeah. So the big story still with Roseanne, and he was here for the City TV upfronts, which is where they pitch all their new shows and tell you what's coming up on the schedule. And America's Got Talent is still as big as it ever was.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
But the big story still is what went down with Roseanne. And no better person to talk to about this than Howie Mandel.
Are you at all surprised at what happened, or do you think they made the right decision?
I'm not surprised by what happened. I think in this day and age, you know, we're living in a, and especially as a comedian, you know, we are living in a very politically correctly charged era, you know, and which is, we have to be cognizant about it. And us in media, regardless of what end of the media, have to be responsible. And if you're going to be irresponsible, then you should not share in the gifts that this industry gives us. It's in everybody's contract when you work for a corporation, you know, you need to, you know, exude proper behavior. And, you know, Twitter's a scary place to be.
Do you think that the show can succeed if they rebrand it without her? That's what they're talking about doing this week, is still doing the show, but without her.
The answer to me, you know, I'm friends with Sarah Gilbert, and who was instrumental and the executive producer of the show. Ultimately, it just comes down to really good writing. And as long as they could really write and keep that level of comedy and those stories and that, yes, good comedy will always win regardless of who's doing it.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
By the way, my new favorite movie on Netflix is a movie called Kissing Booth.
Kissing Booth.
It's like a teen rom-com kind of thing. It's dynamite. The girl in it is cute as a button and charming.
Yeah.
And it has a flair to it that it should not be made in 2018. There's some real questionable decisions in the movie that these teenagers do. So it feels like it was made in like the late 80s, early 90s kind of thing. Some of the decisions that they make.
The Kissing Booth?
Yeah, it's called The Kissing Booth.
Oh, on the poster it says, she could tell her best friend anything except this one thing.
Yeah, she's in love with his older brother. You find that out really early on. I didn't spoil anything. But Kissing Booth, it was such a breath of fresh air because it had such freedom almost.
What do you mean?
You just don't see anymore. Just decisions that people make. Going into the guy's locker room and taking your top off to make another guy jealous. And like, just like all this stuff, right?
That's fantastic.
Like, yeah. Just like all this stuff that you don't see anymore.
Are there famous people in it?
A kissing booth where like you get blindfolded and the people, you know what I mean? It's just like, no, there's nobody famous in it.
Oh, that makes for a good movie. I like when you do.
The girl sort of looks like the girl that Jaden Smith carries around like a baby all the time. But I don't think that that's her.
What?
You ever see those pictures of Jaden Smith carrying his girlfriend around like a baby?
No. Yeah. I gotta look this up. Jaden Smith carrying girlfriend like a baby.
Yeah. He's weird, man. He's a weird cat.
Like
when they're walking down the street, like they don't walk together holding hands. Like he carries them like babies.
This is like how I hold my kid sometimes.
Yeah. Like he carries it like up on the hip, like where she's sitting on his hip and her arms are around his neck. Like it's how you hold a child.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, he carries his girls like babies, which is super weird. But anyway, so the girl in the kissing booth sort of looks like that girl.
Okay. okay.
I don't know why it reminded me of that.
All over the place.
Right. Okay, so but Kissing Booth is real great, and it has a sort of sense, like a throwback kind of feel to a time when movies were a little bit less politically correct. There's some very sort of un-PC aspects to
So in 2018, watching this movie, you're like, how did they get away with that?
Yeah.
Well, it's Netflix. You can do whatever you want.
No, but from what I understand, it was a woman wrote a blog post, and then the blog post became a book deal, and the book deal became a Netflix movie. Like this thing has a really long story of the story of The Kissing Booth. But if you get a chance, it's mindless fun. It should not offend anyone, and it's a crass teen rom-com is what it is.
Are we recommending movies now?
No, we're not. Just this one.
Okay.
We all saw Sex in the City 2, Maury, and it sucked.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good. Took a woodworking course.
Oh, how was it?
It was great.
What'd you build?
Like a box.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's week one of two.
Ooh.
I got to go back next Saturday.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long was the course?
Noon till 5:30.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
5.5 hours.
Yeah.
How many people in the class?
8. Yeah.
Wait, just one box? Or I mean,
just one
that
box.
Amount of time.
Yeah, just
like,
one box.
I thought
box.
You'd be making like multiple boxes.
No, it's very intricate the way they do it.
But you know the drill.
What's that?
No, it's a wood joke.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
True. I saw that coming.
Good one, Ross. Classic.
You build a box, and it's really, it's quite cool because, I don't know, you ever built anything with your hands, Maury? No.
No.
so let me talk to Mocha then. So it's like a memento box kind of thing, right? Yeah. And it's everything you sort of know. It's a wooden box. Like it's a wooden box, it's a wooden box, it's a wooden box. But what you learn and what I wanted to learn was the sort of design behind something that looks really cool, because you can see a million wooden boxes. And then you go into a place where you see a box and it's got like just a design and aesthetic to it that you'd have no idea actually how they made this thing.
Like IKEA.
It looks like it's one sort of solid piece, but it's really wild the way they do it. And so I wanted to know the sort of philosophy behind making these little things and the design that goes into it, not so much the actual putting it together.
The other people,
but the sort of design.
Who were in the class, did any of them have previous woodworking experience? Or was everyone kind of on the same level, newbies?
I think that there were, because I mean, I did a lot of woodworking in high school.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Come on, man, grow up.
I know, I'm trying.
Jeez. I get it.
Okay, never mind, Maury. I did a lot of work with wood in high school, if that makes it sound any better. So yeah. I knew all the machines, but it was just different techniques using those specific machines kind of thing. So it was great. It was dynamite. I love the smell of a wood shop.
Yeah.
Man, oh my God, sawdust and just like noise and everything else. They're like, here's your head, here's your earplugs, so the machines don't get too loud.
Do you have to wear like goggles and stuff?
Yeah, you have to wear safety glasses because dust in your eyes just sucks.
Yeah.
Nobody enjoys that. Nobody.
Safety gloves?
No, never gloves in a wood shop.
Okay.
That's how you lose fingers.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, never gloves in a wood shop.
Okay.
No, because if you have a glove on, like a leather glove, you won't feel the tip of the leather glove hit a blade.
Oh, that's true.
Until that blade is turning that tip of the leather glove into burger.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's why, no gloves in a wood shop.
And so long fingers.
And so long fingers. Right? Yeah. No, so it's kind of cool. So it's like, I would really recommend this for anyone. And that is, practical hobbies really make the difference in a busy life.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're so slammed and you're so busy, a practical hobby keeps you sane. And it has to be something completely different from what you do for a living.
This is why I stamp collect.
It's why you stamp collect. Yeah, no, physically doing something. Like you need to do something with your hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, and whatever it is, I don't care whatever it is. Pottery or
baking.
Drawing or baking, something. You need a practical hobby because you realize everything that we do is on a screen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Everything we do is on a screen. And to actually just sit and have to do something from start to finish that you will most likely screw up is so liberating. Take up photography, for God's sake. Realize how a real camera works and not your phone.
Yeah.
And how really you suck at taking pictures. Your phone is really good at taking pictures. You're not good at taking pictures. Yeah. Put a real camera in your hand.
So take
who's going
to get the box that you make?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
My birthday is coming up.
Is there like a lid on it, or is it just an open box?
No, there's a lid on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, first thing that
with
you
hinges,
do...
With hinges, or
No, it just lifts off freely.
Okay, cool. Well, so you have to make a lid, too.
No, you build one solid unit of a box, and then you literally just slice the whole thing in half, and then have the top half becomes the lid.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so what's next week?
Same thing, same box.
Another box?
I'm not done.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll take 12 hours to build this box.
Like, that box better be lit, bro.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
Before we get to Ask Roz and Mocha, feel free to give us a rating or a review wherever it is that you download the Roz and Mocha Show podcast from.
Mm-hmm.
We would love that. And it is now time for Ask Roz and Mocha.
The best part of the podcast where every week you're going to see on our Instagram account an Ask Roz and Mocha picture, and people are amazing at posting questions.
Yeah.
And we try to get to as many as we can, and usually we like to have at least one person on who listens to the show and loves the podcast to ask their question live with us. So, Crystal Young is on the phone with us.
Hi.
How's it going?
How are you guys? Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's your question, Crystal? First of all, how old are you?
26.
And are you single? Are you married?
I'm in a relationship.
You're in a relationship. Okay, cool. Here we go. What's your question?
So my question was, do you consider going to a strip club and not just looking, but getting a lap dance? Do you consider that cheating?
Ooh,
okay. Before we give our answer, Crystal, Is this something that you're going through right now?
Yeah. So I've been with my boyfriend for a little over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was considered cheating. But for him, it wasn't. And he didn't know that I had considered it cheating until he did it. So now I'm kind of struggling with, is it like, was it bad for me to assume that everyone assumes that it's cheating, or maybe it's not like an assumption?
So did he tell you he was going?
He didn't tell me until after it happened.
Right. And had you had the stripper conversation before or no?
Kind of, but like it wasn't like where I was like, that's cheating. Like, yeah, that's my line. It was more like he was a best man for his friend.
Yeah.
Not this time around. Like it was a year ago, like a couple of years ago. He was best man for his friend, and his friend, who was getting married, wanted to go to a strip club for his bachelor party.
Sure.
And we had only been dating like a year-ish too, right? So I was like, are you going to be doing anything? And he's like, oh no, it's his bachelor party. Everything's going to be for him. Mm. So I never, from that point, I didn't really have to like bring it up.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, it's his bachelor party. Obviously, everything's going to, like, we're going to be paying for him to enjoy. So I didn't need to like really be like, okay, like, so don't do anything, because he had made it clear it wasn't for him, right?
Right. I when it comes to sort of strippers and whether it's cheating or not, first of all, if you have to ask if something's cheating, best not to do it.
Yeah.
Right? If you have to ask if something's cheating, just assume it is. Like, your life is not going to be better for it. But I can see it both ways. I can absolutely see why somebody in a relationship would consider going and getting a lap dance, whether you're a guy or a girl, cheating. And I can also see why somebody would say that it's not cheating. And I've heard this from both men and women.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough thing. But if you are with somebody who truly does not care about strip joints and is not worried in any way, then fine. If you have anybody who has any sort of reservation whatsoever, even on a morality level, when it comes to stripping, just stay away. Just totally. You don't need to go to a strip joint. Your life is not going to be any better from going to a strip joint, and your life is not going to be any less from not going to a strip joint. But is it cheating? That's the question. Is it cheating?
I would say in this situation that Crystal is in,
yeah,
because she feels that it is cheating and the conversation has happened in the past, even though she didn't say specifically getting a lap dance is cheating,
mm-hmm,
in my opinion, her boyfriend should have known better,
right?
To think, well, what would Crystal say if she ever found out, which she did? What would Crystal say if she knew that I was getting a lap dance? Oh, Crystal would think that it's wrong and that it's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To Roz's point, every relationship, every situation is completely different. And I'm not trying to start things between you and your boyfriend, Crystal.
Okay, let me ask you this question. What about it do you find cheating? Is it the fact that it's sort of done in a sexual way? Is it just another woman touching him? Is it another woman's butt on his lap? Is it hands on his body? Like, what specifically, when it comes to getting a lap dance, do you find to be the cheating part? Or is it just the intent on doing it anyway?
I think it's more like she... Okay, so full disclosure, I've never been to a strip club before.
Okay, yeah.
My knowledge is based off of what people tell me and movies.
Mm-hmm.
So from my understanding, I just felt like, oh, like for him to see another girl naked, have her be up close and like touching him, he mm-hmm. gets to touch her, things mm-hmm. like that. That feels a little too intimate to me.
Sure. I will say this. There is a very, very good chance that the woman who is on your husband's lap thinks that he's sad and wants his money. Right? She's not into him. Not that that makes it any better, right? She's not into him.
She's just playing the game.
I know a lot of guys that feel if their wife goes for a massage, they prefer if it's a woman rubbing down their wife as opposed to a guy, because they feel that that's too intimate. You're putting hands on my girl. It's not done in a sexual way, but she's topless lying on a bed and you have full control and you're feeling her body. That a lot of guys have a hard time dealing with that.
Yeah.
I get that. I get all sides. Like for Catherine, when I turned, I think 40, she rented me a big bus and sent us to Niagara Falls and said, go and eat steak and go to strip joints. Right. So she was cool with that. We did it in a big group and it was a lot of fun. But on a Friday night, would I ever just go to a strip joint and get a lap dance? Hell no, I wouldn't. Because it's not that I think it's cheating, but it's sort of disrespectful.
Yeah. You know, since I've been with my wife,
yeah,
like even before marriage, like just dating and everything,
yeah,
I've never been to a strip club.
No.
At all.
Yeah, no, and so is it cheating? I don't think it's cheating. Is it disrespectful? Yes, it's disrespectful. 100%. If you and your dudes can't find something better to do on a Friday night than go and, you know, look at naked women and get a lap dance, knowing that your girl at home finds it to be somewhat cheaty and disrespectful, I think you can do better than that by your girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Does that help, Crystal?
Yeah. Like, I just, because I listen to you guys all the time, every morning when I'm driving into work. And I really, like, love the advice you give out. And I really take your opinion seriously. So I figure, and you know, when what people say, like, birds of a feather kind of flock together. So, like, yeah, all of my immediate friend group kind of, they all feel the same way as me.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to get, like, and all of them are girls too, right? So I just wanted like some guys' opinions and like, how do you guys see it?
You know, maybe if you're going to have this conversation, maybe don't go the cheating way, because he will just sit there and explain to you why it's not cheating. I think that your play on this is to say, you know what, maybe at first I thought it was cheating, but you know what, the more I think about it, it's not cheating. What it is it's just kind of rude and it kind of hurts my feelings. It's kind of disrespectful. It may not be cheating, but it's disrespectful. Maybe go that way. Maybe don't accuse him of cheating. That's a big accusation. Yeah. It's a big accusation to accuse somebody of cheating. But you can call your guy rude. 100%.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to approach it. Because, I mean, if it was any other situation, I still trust him and I know him that he wouldn't, like, actually cheat on me or have an affair. Like, yeah. I still believe that. So, like, this doesn't change that opinion of him.
Yeah.
So, that's probably a better way to go about it.
There was a point in my life when my only friends were strippers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like,
you still keep in touch?
No, oh, not at all.
I'm just kidding.
not at all.
Hey, Crystal, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
Take care.
You too.
Thanks, hon. Maury, going to a strip joint, cheating or not cheating?
Not cheating.
Not cheating, okay.
All right, as we continue, ask Roz and Mocha.
Yes, exactly.
Anton asks, if you could see one movie again for the very first time, what would it be and why?
Oh my God, that is a hard question. If I could see one movie again, I'm trying to think of the movie that had a really huge impact on me.
Does that mean when you see it, it's as if you've never seen it?
Yes. Yeah.
A League of Their Own.
Really?
What? Of all the movies that you love?
I love that movie.
Really?
And to see it again for the first time when the Peaches come out onto the field. I think that was their team.
Yeah.
And it was so emotional. Like the very so end weird. With the reunion.
You're so weird. Who would pick a League of Their Own? I mean, I love that you did it, but man, if I had to write a list of movies that I wish I could see again for the first time, a League of Their Own would.
Let Dottie play?
Yeah, no, I know.
I was going to say, like, I mean, for me at least, the obvious would be like Star Wars or Back to the Future, especially Back to the Future, or like, I don't know, Scarface.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll add Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Okay, that one makes sense.
That one makes sense. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what movies had those like great impacts on me. But the thing is that when I think of the impact that it had on me, I think that it had that impact on me because I saw it at the age that I saw it.
Yeah.
So if I saw Star Wars now, I don't know if it would still have that same impact. So I'm trying to find a movie that had that was just so different.
I have another one.
Yeah.
If we're going down that road,
yeah.
Deadpool. Because
really?
Yeah. Because I did not like Deadpool at all.
Yeah.
I'm not into the character, I'm not into the movie. Right?
Yeah.
But I didn't see Deadpool until it came out like digitally. So it was after all the hype, and there was so much hype after that very first Deadpool that I was expecting this amazing, like, crazy movie.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is what everyone was hyping up?
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing, to be honest with you.
It's interesting. So for me, when it comes to movies, there were some really pivotal moments in film for me. And those movies have, my thoughts on those movies have almost been tainted because there were so many copycat movies that came around after it. So I would say right now, if I could go back and rewatch like Pulp Fiction again for the first time without having been influenced by all the copycat Tarantino movies that came out after that, that movie was just so crazy that I remember just like not even understanding what the hell I was watching because it was just so well done. So that movie had a huge impact on me. Not because I thought it, not because I thought it was the best movie, but because it was just such a different movie from what everything else was at that time.
Yeah.
Mmm, that is a tasty burger.
Yes, Maury, it is a tasty burger.
Holly Clifford wants to know, who were your worst neighbors and why? David Moore is like, let me run down the list.
Yeah. Where do I begin?
I haven't had a lot of bad neighbors. I've had pretty decent neighbors. When my brother and I first moved to Toronto, we lived beside two older gay guys, and I think they had like a 50-year age difference between them. One of them, his name was Bruce, and and he was just super chatty and real great. And he was almost deaf, so their TV was so loud all the time.
No.
Yeah, and he was just straight. He was like a straight up, you know, just like an old gay guy, and they were a wonderful couple, but his sort of demeanor and the way that he spoke was just so matter of fact. And I remember getting off the elevator one day, and Lloyd wasn't there, and Bruce was there, and I was like, "Hey, Bruce, how's it going?" And he was like, "Oh, good. Went to the doctor yesterday." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And he's like, "They took out my eye."
Oh no, Bruce! Come on, man. You need anything?
Yeah. So then it was one-eyed Bruce.
Oh no!
Half deaf, one-eyed Bruce. But they were my best neighbors. I haven't had a lot of really lousy neighbors because I'm a pretty good neighbor too, and I think you are too, Mokey. You're a pretty good neighbor.
I would say. Up until now, I haven't had terrible neighbors. I mean, the neighbors, you know, unfortunately, that I have on one side of my house right now, they don't take care of their property, the outside of the house. They just don't care.
Yeah,
so
sad.
You know, like garbage and recycling bins will be left out like 3, 4, 5 days after the pickup day.
Yeah,
right. They don't take care of their yard, and I get the weeds from their yard and my yard. They're not really my favorite, but other than that, I've gotten along great with all my other neighbors. Dan Amore lives in a condo where he literally hates everybody.
Yeah. Well, I think the worst neighbor would have to be the guy that grew or made meth next to me when I lived in an apartment, and they had to call the drug people and build a tent outside, and
police?
We had to evacuate. Yeah, the police.
Yeah.
So that'd be the worst neighbor. Matthew's new thing now is that he hates with our neighbors.
So do you know anything about meth and
from Breaking Bad?
Right, but you don't grow meth. Yes. So you had one neighbor who was who cooked meth. That's a pretty terrible neighbor.
The new thing that drives Matthew absolutely nuts now with our neighbors is that they say hi when we're walking together. They say hi only to me and don't acknowledge him, and it's driving Matthew insane.
Oh,
I
no.
love that.
Ask Roz and Mocha every week. You're going to see a picture on Instagram at Kiss925 that simply states, "Ask Roz and Mocha." Feel free to ask anything you want. You have the chance of getting onto the podcast.
Can we do one more?
Sure. Pick one, Roz.
What ridiculous thing has someone tricked you into believing or doing?
I got one.
What?
Somebody, my friend John, once told me that they turn off Niagara Falls at night. and then we had to go there, and it was at nighttime. I'm like, when does it turn off? He's like, oh, any minute now. And
really?
So I sit by the window waiting for the falls to turn off.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com
or on the KISS 92.5 app.